Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let them know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, boy.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Daddy!
Make him spit that cat out this instant!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 38 next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow, I get to see Rick. He's my friend, too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Ricky and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You could be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You can go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush would be held in this
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Spring is here. Time to begin yard work for many of us. Hello, I'm Renee Cipriano, Director of the Illinois EPA, reminding you that leaves, grass, and brush, when burned, release pollutants such as carbon monoxide, soot, and other chemicals that are harmful when inhaled and help to form smog. Instead of burning leaves or grass clippings, create a compost bin. For green tips on this and other lawn and garden activities, visit our Citizens Information webpage at epa.state.il.us. Thank you.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. In response to the recent news regarding talk show host Leonardo Drysdale, the station would like to say to the family members of the victim and to his family as well that our hearts go out to them and that we will keep them in our prayers as they go through this most difficult time.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. You know, I am. It seems like I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I am amazed. Two stories I want to tie together for you. Two stories I want you to feel. Two stories that once again demonstrate the battle that we are in. The battle that we are in. There was a meeting held on Thursday. And I can almost feel and touch the atmosphere of this meeting. I can almost, you know, feel it. people huddled together, gathered together, fussing together, you know, scurrying, if you will, together. It's a private meeting on Capitol Hill. Some Senate Democrats were warning were worried and about the words that Howard Dean has used. I mean, I have some issues with Howard Dean. But I'm fascinated. But they're not worried about the words that I'm worried about. Democrats are worried that Howard Dean said, and I quote, "Republicans have never made an honest living in their lives." He said that he meant the leadership of the Republican Party. Fair enough. He was talking about leadership. The words that the Democrats weren't worried that Howard Dean said was he wished George W. Bush well on the rest of the war. Why aren't they worried about those words as opposed to these words? He referred to the GOP as a pretty much a white Christian party. Which word in there is inaccurate? And why were the Democrats upset about that? Or scurrying and worrying about that? Scurrying and worrying, scurrying and worrying, scurrying and worrying. The Republican Party is pretty much a white Christian party. The Democratic Party is pretty much a white Christian party. The Republican Party is more so. So what is it that they were worrying and scurrying about? The meeting had been scheduled to discuss party strategy before his recent remarks. After the meeting, Senate Democrats continued to express support for him. However, Harold Ford of Tennessee, a black man who supported the bankruptcy bill and who supports the energy bill and supports anything that's going to get him elected, he scurried away from him. Harold Ford wants to be a United States senator. And Virginia Governor Mark Warner made a point I love this tough talk. Harold Ford. If Dean could not temper his comments, it may get to the point where the party may need to look elsewhere for leadership because he does not speak for me. Boy, you know, I'm gonna share some stuff about Harold Ford. I'm gonna share some stuff. Black folks ain't got nothing coming with Harold Ford, but he'll hop on their backs to say he's black, but distance himself to get elected. Harold Ford voted for the bankruptcy bill when a huge portion of the members of the state of Tennessee suffer from either loss of job, divorce, or health care catastrophes. He voted for the energy bill that gives Enron hundreds of millions of dollars in government-subsidized loans that we'll have to pay if they screw it up. Harold Ford is too cowardly to call himself a Republican. Needs to just come on out with it. Ain't that some stuff? I wish he would talk that tough about the Republicans. If Dean could not temper his comments, it may get to the point where the party may need to look elsewhere for leadership. I wish he'd be that tough with a Republican. Oh, how could he? He would be one. 454-0400 is my phone number. Give to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Ben, good morning.
Yeah, well, I think, I looked at a couple of weeks ago, a week ago, at C-SPAN, and I saw the Democratic Progressive Convention that they had in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, saw the speech that they were talking about with Dean saying that most Republicans, he said a lot of Republicans hadn't held a regular job,
mm-hmm,
or something like that. Well, Senator Biden, first thing he does is disavow what he says. You know, and they'll, you know, they'll rein in Dean and deny him quicker than they will the president.
That's correct. That's correct.
And I also saw Arianna Huffington. Are you aware? Do you know about her?
Of course I do. Of course I do. What did you hear?
She said some very powerful things that made sense, and this is, to me, it's obvious. She said, what they're afraid of is the money,
mm-hmm,
the big money, soft money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're competing with Republicans for, corporate money. Dean, he revolutionized the Democratic Party in the election process with his internet fundraising. And that's how he gets most of his money from $10, $20 over the internet at a time from individual citizens, the way it's supposed to be raised.
And it's easy. It's easy money to get. The big money is easy money to get. The smaller money is harder to get. And they have to be more accountable to a whole lot more people if they get the smaller money. You know, when you get when you get nothing but money from credit card companies and the financial industry, or from drug companies, oil companies, then you only have to be accountable to a handful of people, and that's easy. And you can hide behind every bit of wrongdoing that you do if you only get big money. But you don't have any place to hide when your money comes from everybody.
That's right.
You know, so that's what, and that's, there are criticisms that are coming from the Bill Clintons and the Hillary Clintons out there about the criticisms directed at Howard Dean. But I'm not ready to say that Howard Dean is the be all and end all, because the treasurer of the National Democratic Party is the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. The treasurer of the DNC is the same treasurer that Terry McAuliffe had. So I'm a little concerned that he's holding on to that same group of people that were trying to that worship at the altar of big money and corporations.
Well, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the big corporation money and the Democrats trying to pretend that they're more grassroots than they are. And like you say, not only Ford, but a lot of them, including Biden.
But I am particularly
change parties become, so we know who they are.
I know, but I'm particularly peeved at Ford, because he's one. You know what I mean? Mike McMillan is just like that. Locally speaking, we have an elected official that represents black folks, but is all about carrying the water and advocating for those outside of his community.
That's right, and it's an alarming trend among black politicians. Here lately.
Well, that's why people need to get involved in politics, to get them out, because you ain't supposed to be here. Just say who you are, say what you're here for really, and we can judge you accordingly.
That's right.
All right, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The other story that I want to tie to the Democrats' criticism of, some Democrats' criticism of Howard Dean, is the fact that there were, remember, we were only supposed to get three judges. This so-called compromise by our good Democrats. Well, there were there have been approximately 10 more judges, I think it is, that have come through the pipe. I'm sorry, three more judges that have come through the pipe. We were only supposed to get three, giving George W. Bush 5 of his 10 stalled nominees have now won approval. Democrats were taking a stance on 10 of them. 5 of them have gotten through. Two of them were approved unanimously. Two of them were approved unanimously. And if you look at the words that papers are using now, they are using the same words that George W. Bush was using. Instead of saying filibuster, the papers are using the word stalling. Look at the words that are being used. I'm looking at this AP report right now. Democrats' previous objections have been focused on stalling. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. My goodness gracious, we have much, much, much to talk about. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We're going to take a break, and I'll get back at you. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street. There's an accident being diverted. Traffic is being diverted on 8th Street or onto 8th Street and then around the accident, then right back onto Route 3. The traffic is jammed approaching Monsanto. Eastbound 44 at Bowles, look for a disabled vehicle blocking an exit ramp there, so use caution. Eastbound 70 at 94 in Blanchett Bridge, road construction. Two left lanes are closed, and there are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 at Richardson and Carondelet, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and 270, everything is moving along steady. Northbound 270 at 44, no problems there. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and Washington Elizabeth, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 255 between Telegraph and 55, expect normal traffic for your 6:30 commute. Northbound Route 3 ramp to 5570 is closed until late June due to direct repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street and then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move. Westbound 64 at 5570. Nothing to report there. And in westbound Kingbridge traffic, before Laclede's Landing, everything is flowing freely this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery Road to Riches 8 instant games, over $150 million in available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 90. For this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low should be in the lower 70s. Moving on to Saturday, partly sunny skies, a 40% chance of showers. The high should be in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy once again with a chance for showers and a low around 70. And moving on to Sunday, look forward to partly sunny skies, another chance for showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under partly cloudy skies, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to hope for the nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong, united to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25. Per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
I ran away today, ran from the noise, ran away. Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice, no way.
Welcome back, welcome back. Can we work it out? Whew, we have stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness. My goodness. Are y'all seeing any stories out there in your local paper about the Downing Street memo? Y'all seeing any reporting of it? I saw the most incredible dissection of the Downing Street memo. And it said that Tim Russert asked a couple of questions about it. But Tim Russert referred to the memo as the famous Downing Street memo. And the question is, famous to who? Y'all haven't talked about it. New York Times hadn't talked about it. They talked about it, but they waited to the 15th paragraph to tell you the most important part about it. USA Today admitted that they hadn't talked about it till last week, up until this week, because they were waiting for confirmation. Everybody's concerned about sources now. You sure want that concern when Bush was telling you about what was going on in Iraq? Y'all need to get to Downing Street. Or no, get to johnconyers.com, johnconyers.com, or afterdowningstreet.org, afterdowningstreet.org. We can get this impeachment process going. Let's just raise the questions. If we can spend 4 years almost talking about somebody's zipper, Lord, we can talk about a government, a person sitting in the White House that's sitting in the office of the president that lied to this, to lied to Congress, to get us into a war. He lied, people died. There must be impeachment. If he lied and people died, there must be impeachment. 1 + 1 = 2. He lied, we died, impeachment. That's simple, isn't it? That's a simple equation. He lied. We died. Impeachment. 1 + 1 = 2. Doesn't it? I mean, I know there's new math out there, but doesn't it? Car phone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I called up the station yesterday bringing up this Downing Street memo.
Mm-hmm.
And also about the English guy who's killed himself over that sexy document.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was basically told I was being stupid and naive because there's so much freedom spreading between being in the Middle East right now. You know, but there was crimes committed in this White House. I don't care if they freed the whole world. These people need to be brought to justice.
He lied. We died. Impeachment.
And if you ask me, there's over 1,600 American bodies dead right now. He should be tried for over 1,600 cases of manslaughter.
He lied. We died. Impeachment.
That's a fact. I thank you very much.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
Lance, just a word about Howard Dean.
Okay.
You remember Iowa, where he was on top, and overnight he sank to the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
I knew then something was wrong. And I also know this. Howard Dean is trying to pick a fight with the right wing. I'm right on par with him. And those others are trying to hold this man back. And as long as Howard Dean goes forward, picks that fight with him, and sticks to his guns, I'm going to hang right there with him.
We have to make sure that we watch him as well, too.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that is missing from Howard Dean's comments, I mean, it's great to talk about the Republican Party. It's great to talk to your base about what the Republican Party truly looks like. But let's talk about this war, too. This war is this. He lied, we died. Impeachment. That he should be saying that.
Right.
He should be saying that.
It seems as if he's trying to stick with the domestic issues.
No, it's worse than that.
It's
worse than that because he did make a statement in Minnesota to the Democrats in Minnesota that he wished George W. Bush well on the rest of this war.
Well, as long as he talks the language I want to hear.
Well, did you want to hear that?
I'm going to stay with you. About the Downing Street memo, that was published in the Post-Dispatch, I think a week ago yesterday.
But the assessments of it, what we're talking about is, and I will check to see if the entire thing was in the Post-Dispatch.
Okay.
But the bottom line is that when you look at CBS, when you look at ABC, when you look at NBC, none of them have talked about it. As of yesterday, none of them had talked about the Downing Street memo.
Okay.
None of them.
That's right.
And then also the New York Times didn't talk about the Downing Street memo in the way that it needed to be talked about. and we've not only had newspapers not talk about it, but the Christian Science Monitor did a report with newspapers that were dismissing it before they even talked about it, saying that it's been a dud here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it,
and we need to go forward with impeachment if it is at all possible, and I know it is.
Did you write or did you call John Conyers?
Yes,
all right.
I called John Conyers' office.
All right.
And they couldn't, tell me anything except to write him a letter.
Okay.
And I'm very good at that.
All right now.
Thank you.
Thanks for your
Bye.
Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Hey, Ms. Brown, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Ms. Brown, I call to talk about this tyrant that I saw on TV yesterday talking about this Patriot Act taking the freedom from us to lose the so-called freedom that we do have. But this tyrant talking about taking our freedom at the same time, he's bragging about the freedom that he given to the people in Iraq.
Isn't that something? How do you make that come out your mouth?
Brought up on treason. This treason right here, Ms. Brown.
How do you make that? That is truly talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're pushing secret courts in America and hollering about we're bringing democracy to Iraq. That is a quintessential talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Do they really take the people to be that stupid and naive that you just don't see this going on? Come on, wake up. Come on.
All right.
We got people that's willing to accept anything that this tyrant gives to us because That's what it is. We live in tyranny. Black people been in tyranny for the longest. And we call this dude a president. He's not a president. He's a tyrant. And I see you, Miss Brown.
All right, now. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. Look. He lied. We died. Impeachment. 1 + 1 = 2.
Something brand new. Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Spring is here. Time to begin yard work for many of us. Hello, I'm Renee Cipriano, Director of the Illinois EPA, reminding you that leaves, grass, and brush, when burned, release pollutants such as carbon monoxide, soot, and other chemicals that are harmful when inhaled and help to form smog. Instead of burning leaves or grass clippings, create a compost bin. For green tips on this and other lawn and garden activities, visit our citizens information webpage at epa.state.il.us. Thank you.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline La Paz. Bolivia has a new president. Eduardo Rodriguez, former head of that country's Supreme Court, has been sworn in after Congress accepted Carlos Mesa's resignation. Rodriguez promised to convene new elections within 6 months to try and calm civil unrest that took down Mesa. Things are so bad that Congress had to meet in the town of Sucre instead of the capital of La Paz. Demonstrations have been ongoing for weeks, seeking more constitutional rights for indigenous peoples of the highlands, as well as nationalization of Bolivia's natural gas industry. Former President Mesa still had 2 years to go on his term. Mesa took over about 20 months ago from Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozado, who was also driven out of office by demonstrations for the same reasons. And Dateline Washington. Representative John Conyers says the House Judiciary Committee will be scheduling hearings next week regarding the Downing Street memo. Conyers' office says it has new documents that corroborate the legitimacy of the Downing Street memo, and those will be introduced at the hearings. Witnesses scheduled to testify will include Joe Wilson, former ambassador and expert on weapons of mass destruction, a former CIA analyst by the name of Ray McGovern, who used to do presidential daily briefings for President Reagan, and John Bonifaz, a Boston constitutional lawyer calling for a resolution of inquiry regarding impeachment, and Cindy Sheehan, a mother who lost a son in combat. Sheehan and Bonifaz were guests on the wake-up call earlier this week. The Downing Street memo talks about intelligence information being fabricated to support the case for war in Iraq well ahead of the actual invasion. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hello, this is Ella Allen Cohen, host of the Gospel Soul Train broadcast. Join me every Saturday evening at 6:30 as we lift up Jesus with the best gospel music in St. Louis. We also bring you the latest church news you need to know. So join me, Ella Allen Cohen, on the Gospel Soul Train Saturday evening at 6:30 here on WGNU.
with eHarmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
Business goes on as usual. The corn and the profits are high, and TVs boom in every living room. They tell us what deodorants to buy. Business goes on as usual, except that my brother stays.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up or get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, turn your radio down, please.
Yes, that was fast. I was watching Lou Dobbs last night, and I didn't catch who was behind this. But I think they've lost their collective minds up there. He's talking, you know, we've got the Patriarch here. And he's talking about there's a move up there to open the borders of Canada and Mexico. And we'll all just be one big happy family.
A move by who?
That's what I could. I didn't hear who's behind it, but he was really upset. And he said, this is what's going on up there now, is they're talking about doing away with the borders between Canada and the borders between Mexico and the United States.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
What Lou Dobbs said. I don't know where he got his information.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty upset about it. He said, that's the talk up there.
Mm.
But and here we've got the Patriot Act here.
Mm.
But we're going to open the borders. But we're being protected here from the terrorists.
All right.
Look into that and see if you can find anything out about it.
You know what? No, I'm not. I'm working on it. I'm not even trying to do that. No.
I'll try to pay attention, see if I can find out more about if it's an actual push or a bill by somebody up there.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Welcome to Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I remember on one of your weekly segments of the St. Louis Public School Watch, you were talking about open court, which I believe is connected to McGraw-Hill that are based out of Texas. Well, in regard to open court, you were talking about the some kind of reading program that they were trying to get into the St. Louis Public Schools. I received a card in the mail that I think should be insulting to most people who received it from Airmark, talking about their free summer meals. And on the front of the car, they have a picture of what looks like a monkey sitting in a chair at a breakfast table.
Send it to me. Please send that to me, because I haven't gotten a copy of that. If you could send that to me, that would be great. And
it's outrageous. I tried to call to voice my opposition, my opinion about it, and they're not even listed. They don't have a telephone number.
Please send that to me.
Okay.
Okay.
And one other thing I want to...
And I would like to get it before Wednesday of next week.
You'll have it.
All right.
I lost my train of thought. I sound like George W. But since I...
No, you would have had to have a train of thought in order to lose it. So you're already ahead of the game.
Oh, you were talking about, earlier, you were talking about had something to do with the war.
Well, think on it, and we'll talk later.
Okay,
all right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. I was going to call you about that same thing. What a deal. Free meals, and you look and you see this monkey. But since he's going to send you the card, I'll just keep this one. But this is insulting to the hilt. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about, and I would have to bring you this, I was on a plane not too long ago and on U.S. Airways, and they, in their own publication, I don't see why their employees don't read it, it was saying they are trying to open up markets in Asia, and they're going to ask these people to take a cut and pay? I don't understand these people. I really don't.
All right.
But I'll get that to you so you'll see it.
All right.
And you have a wonderful weekend.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Joyce, good morning.
Liz?
Yes?
My husband received one of those little cards in the mail also, and I was just wondering why we received one. We don't have any children that's old enough to go, that's school age. And
so isn't it, you're wondering what kind of mailing list are they using?
Right,
uh-huh.
Right. Because me and my husband are well over 35, and our children are grown. So I'm trying to figure out why we got this, and my husband said yesterday, he said, why did we get this in the mail?
Did you all notice the picture that everybody is talking about that is on?
Yeah, it looked like a little boy with a monkey type of face, and he has a meal in front of him with his report card, and he's drinking milk. And it's like, what a deal, free meals.
Ain't that, please, we got to figure out where they got your name and your address. Was it addressed to you? Or did it say resident?
No, it's addressed to my husband.
It's addressed? It has his name on it.
It has his name on it. And like I said, we're well over the age, and our children have been out of school for so long. Oh, my goodness. So
I wonder where they're getting your names from. I wonder where they're getting the names from. And I'm pleased. I just want to make sure I get one of these. I really got, because I didn't get one of them. So, I don't imagine that my name is on any list in the St. Louis Public Schools to get mailings for anything. Please get that to me here at the station at 265 Union, Suite 1300.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, I got one of those cards, too.
And what did you think when you saw it?
I tore it up because it wasn't applicable because I'm single.
And where do you live? On the north side, the south side?
South side.
Where do you suppose they got the names from? And it had your name on it, right?
It has my name on it, right. And I just saw it and, saw it as junk mail. Yeah, I noticed the monkey, too, and I did make a connection with kids and because I'm single, and I just considered it junk mail.
So you've never had any kids in the St. Louis Public Schools?
That's correct.
Why did they send one to you?
I have no idea. Yeah, that came in the mail yesterday.
What zip code are you in?
63104, right around Gravois and Russell.
63104.
Right.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Rochelle.
Hi.
Good morning.
Liz, I also, my mom received a card, and my mom's 77.
So, needless to say, she doesn't have any. Well, she could. If she was a grandmother, she could have her daughter or son's kids. But she doesn't have any kids in the St. Louis Public Schools.
No, ma'am.
And she hasn't for years.
Years. In fact, I am young ones.
What is her zip code?
I am in 63120.
What is her zip code?
63120.
120. And had her name on it.
Yes, it did.
And were you offended by the picture on the front of it?
Yes. In fact, the monkey is purple with yellow hair. And I also wanted to tell the people to look at the stamp. It says non-profit organization.
Huh?
The stamp. Yes, ma'am.
Huh? It says non-profit. They're using non-profit stamps on this? Aramark is?
Yes, ma'am. Right over the stamp it says non-profit org.
Please send that to me.
Yes,
please,
ma'am, I will.
Send that to me. Thanks,
yes,
for your call. Listen, let me see. Let me get to you. Yes, call it quickly.
Ms. Brown, this is Ruth. I received one of those cards, too, and I looked at it, and I got depressed, and I just tore it up, you know.
And your zip code is what?
It's 63107.
63107. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Finally, yes.
Hi.
Yo, they're out. We got them. I never had a kid in public school.
What's your zip code?
15. 63115. Yeah, and Ford, he's a yellow dog Democrat. He's in trouble.
Oh, he is not a Democrat. He's a Republican.
Yeah, that means that is true.
He's a Republican.
And I guess, I can't understand people that fought war. What's the apathy? Why are they not voting?
Well,
why even 1,000 votes?
We got to go. We'll be back with Looking Black. Roland Martin's going to be on the show. Looking Black next hour. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
A daycare van on a hot day discovered too late. This parent was at the daycare center in West Allis, Wisconsin, when a distraught mother made the discovery.
She came all the way out the door, and they looked in the van, and then her kid was just laying there dead. They tried CPR.
On Monday, a 3-year-old boy was found dead inside a daycare van in Little Rock. In that case, the driver faces a manslaughter charge. Tropical storm Arlene has moved into the Gulf of Mexico with maximum sustained winds of 45 miles an hour. Storm could drop as much as 10 inches of rain on western Cuba and trigger tornadoes in Florida. Tropical storm watches are posted from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. This man in Grand Isle, Louisiana.
We're getting all our pumps checked out, serviced, and making sure they fill up with diesel and ready to go. We make sure all our drainage ditches are cleaned out. And our emergency pumps, you know, make sure they're all ready.
With the Army expected to miss its recruitment quotas again this month, it's said to be considering doubling cash incentives for some new recruits to up to $40,000. The Army is also proposing a pilot program to provide up to $50,000 in home mortgage help for recruits who sign up for 8 years of active duty. ABC's Keith Garvin says the Army is expected to miss its recruitment goal by 25% for May.
The problem is especially hard for the Army, which is in the middle of a major expansion in an effort to redesign its combat units, but it's having a tough time getting there with current conflicts overseas.
Day 6 of jury deliberations in the Michael Jackson case. Legal analyst Laurie Levinson says this panel is very much aware they're in the spotlight.
They don't want to be the next O.J. jury where everyone second-guesses them for the rest of their lives.
For the city of Santa Maria, that windfall from the Jackson trial will mean new tax revenue. This is ABC News.
Hi, welcome to the UPS store.
Hi, here's everything I need done. It's a lot of work, so where are we starting the runaround? Over at the copier?
The runaround?
Yeah, you know, when I run around the store desperately trying to get things done for my small business while you just watch me from behind the counter there.
Ma'am, I don't know what you're used to. We really do all the running around for you.
Printing, binding, packing, and shipping. Get it done right at one of 3,700 convenient locations. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you. Participation may vary.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Not many Americans visit North Korea. ABC's Bob Woodruff is there and files this ABC News exclusive.
The USS Pueblo, the American ship which North Korea caught spying off its coast in 1968, is now a museum on the river here. The officer who gave us a tour today said the ship's an example of American crimes and another reason Koreans don't like Americans.
They invaded to our territory and they spied main information. So all the Koreans were angry.
This is the kind of image of America that goes completely unchallenged here. There are no American products in the markets, no American programs on television. And since almost no U.S. citizens ever visit North Korea, most North Koreans have never even met one.
President Bush and South Korea's leader will discuss North Korea's nuclear weapons program during a White House meeting today. Bush administration brands the North an outpost of tyranny, while South Korea just wants a peaceful coexistence. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police have yet to identify a man murdered in North County. The Hispanic victim is about 5'4" and 173 pounds. He was found outside the North Gardens apartment complex in Spanish Lake around 7 a.m. yesterday. The St. Louis County Medical Examiner says he died from a puncture wound. A suspect is in custody in Jefferson County for an alleged carjacking at a service station. Jerry Thibeau is charged with first-degree robbery and armed criminal action. Police say Thibeau carjacked a woman at knife point at Britain's Quick Shop on Highway 21 in Hillsboro. After she escaped from her van, Thibeau led officers on a chase that ended when he ran over spike strips. Thibeau is being held in the Jefferson County Jail on $200,000 bond. Some 2,000 foster and adoptive parents in the state of Missouri will soon lose their monthly subsidy checks. Changes to the adoption assistance program do away with the financial help for any family who earns more than 250% of the poverty level. Kathy Martorella, a spokesperson for the Foster and Adoptive Care Coalition, says the adoption program is the best way to achieve permanency for a child.
Most of the children who are adopted have special needs. So in order to encourage folks to adopt children, the state has agreed to provide needed services such as Medicaid and daycare.
She says the real problem is that some parents won't be able to afford to care for their children without that $225 monthly check. She also says the loss of promised benefits will make it harder for the 2,000 children awaiting adoption to actually get adopted. Finally this hour, safety advocates are warning parents to keep a close eye on their children when swimming. The Consumer Product Safety Commission reports there were more than 250 drownings and 2,300 near drownings among children under the age of 5 nationwide last year, compared to 1,800 in 2003. On Sunday, twin teenage brothers drowned in a Madison County pond, and a 15-year-old boy drowned in a pond outside of New Mel. Most recently, a 17-year-old girl drowned in a swimming pool in South St. Louis Wednesday afternoon. For more safety information, log on to www.ul.com/consumer. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Commerce Bank. Take care of those home improvements with a home equity loan from Commerce Bank. A home equity loan with a great rate, great for college tuition or home improvements. Commerce Bank, equal housing lender. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 8th Street. Look for an accident to clear. The traffic is starting to thin out this hour. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and the 3200 block of South Broadway. No problems to report. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Big Bend. Everything's flowing freely. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Manchester. No problems to report this hour. Westbound 270 between 367 all the way into New Florissant Road. Everything is on the move. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55. Nothing to report. Eastbound 44 between 109 and the Chrysler plant. Everything is moving steady this hour. And let's take a look at your bridge approaches. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge is normal this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything's on the move. And Klondike Road at Highway E. There's a report of an accident down in Jefferson County. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Pest Control. Did you know if ants talk by smell? The Orkin Man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKINMAN. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of rain this morning with a high around 94 this evening. Look forward to mostly cloudy skies, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Another chance for rain with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers. The high should be in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies. Still yet another chance for showers with a low around 70. And then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 73 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 73 degrees and cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Looking Black that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be? To use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome to Looking Black. Yep, it's that time of the week, folks, that we just take a look back on the week's stories, or stories in general from an African perspective. Our guest this morning is Roland S. Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender, joining us from Chicago. Roland, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Another early day. We Thursday is our biggest newspaper, and so always up late putting it out for the Chicago Defender, but it's all good.
So you got it done. It's out there.
Yes, it's out. It's done. Another day is done. Now it's a matter of getting a few hours of sleep before, because we got Rainbow Push Annual Conference beginning tomorrow, so that's going to be the next 5 days, and so we're going to be doing lots of coverage for that. So,
well, let's talk about that if you don't mind.
Sure.
Sure.
Can we talk about the Rainbow Push Coalition? Jesse's out there in California being the spokesperson against the ish wishes of the attorney for Michael Jackson.
Actually, that's not really the case. I actually had a conversation with the Reverend and some others yesterday, and Messero was really referring to Bain, who came out and said that I am Michael's personal publicist, and whenever I speak on behalf of Tom Messero. And then the statement was released that no one speaks on behalf of Messero or the Jackson defense, because that would have been a violation of the gag order.
Okay.
So because she is personally tied to Michael as an employee, technically she falls under that order, but in fact Reverend Jackson does not.
Okay.
So he's not considered a member of the defense team.
Well, how do you think that his presence out there in California weighs on this? Because a lot of stories are referring to him out there. There are some that are saying meddling. There are some that are saying, you know, this is a good thing. How do you take it?
Well, I think, first of all, it's always a matter of going back and looking at one's history. Jackson has been close to the Michael Jackson family for a number of years. And I understand that back in 1980, when the Jackson family had the Victory Tour, things had gotten so bad. I think it was 80 or 84. But things had gotten so bad in terms of what the brothers would not even speak to one another without their lawyers present. Reverend Jackson was running for president, and Joe and Catherine Jackson called him and said, "You have got to come here to try to resolve these differences." And Jackson was running for president. I mean, so he was kind of had a little busy schedule at that moment. But he did go to one of the cities and tried to resolve what was taking place. And one of the things that he told me yesterday was that this family right now is a extremely dysfunctional family. How they still, I mean, they don't talk to one another. He said they never get together for holidays. And so even what's going out there, there's so many conflicting agendas. And that is the one story I think many media people really don't understand what is going on. You know, everyone talks about Michael Jackson, the businessman, talks about how smart he is. Some of us talk about how naive he is. But it is amazing the number of people who have their own personal agendas attached to Michael Jackson in this whole case. I mean, it's 20, 30 folks who you know, whether it's family members, whether it's accountants, whether it's lawyers, and everyone, it sort of reminds me of what happened with the fall of Mike Tyson, speaking of another black involved, that everyone has their own agenda, but they always forget about the one person who they're all connected to, and that is Michael himself.
And it's not just an agenda. We're talking about an agenda attached to a person, or if you want to remove him from that, an enterprise that is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, he is. I mean, everything revolves around him for all of these people, and he is the gravy train. And, you know, Liz, I remember the Lennox Lewis Mike Tyson fight when Mike was knocked out. And blood was coming out of his eyes, and they had that overhead shot of Mike. And everyone was going, you know, it's over. It's over for Mike Tyson. And this is no lie. The first thing that came into my mind was, what is the rest of this man's life going to be without boxing? And where are those people who have been leeching off of him for years? And so you have to ask yourself the question, the same thing. It does find it interesting that none of Michael's celebrity friends have been around coming to his aid.
And is that because I recognize as an attorney that there are some people that can speak and some people that can't speak, but that there, if you're not going to testify, you can come and you can sit in on the trial. How many of his celebrity friends, was Liz Taylor there sitting in the courtroom?
No. And in fact, you make an excellent point. When I was covering the Michael Irvin drug trial in Dallas, Texas several years ago, and Troy Aikman showed up and some other athletes showed up, you know, the judge called Troy Aikman in and did not want him to do certain things in the courtroom because it might sway the That's why I am here.
And my heart goes out to Michael Jackson from the perspective of, I know that, I mean, I was a criminal defense attorney, and I know prosecutors, I know other defense attorneys, and prosecutors and defense attorneys alike say that, you know what, the scariest thing in the world is putting your life in the hands of 12 people who you don't know. So I know he's sick to death. I know he's sick to, I know that my stomach was in knots waiting for a verdict to come out. So well, I know he's sick to death.
And I want people to understand that I am not pro Michael Jackson or anti the child. If Michael Jackson is found guilty, Michael Jackson needs to go to prison. Clearly, you are proven you are innocent until proven guilty. It is a sad story to see an icon as he is going through this. And again, I'm not that there's blame on all sides. It was late Johnny Cochran who told Michael Jackson to never put himself in this situation where he could be accused, to not do certain things. And in many ways, he's ignored that advice. But also, I will say this. If Michael Jackson is found not guilty, or if he is convicted on a lesser charge, you know, making alcohol available to minors or whatever, I would really hope that Mike would get the biggest broom in the world and sweep away all of the leeches who surround him, even if they are family members, so he can get his life in order and streamline his life so he is not driven crazy again by these folks. Because trust me, if he is found not guilty, Liz, you're going to see even more leeches come out.
Absolutely.
They're all going to be looking, trying to make a buck.
Absolutely. And the other piece of it is, and I've talked to just women about this, is that the fact of the matter is that Michael Jackson can have Michael Jackson can have the love beyond his heart for the children of the world, and that's a fine thing to have when you are not a parent. Right now, you have two babies, so your responsibility is not to some stranger's child. If you want to take care of other people's children and their needs, build a hospital. Have a hospital for the babies to go there. But right now, how are you going to be a father to your children if by taking care of somebody else's child, you're now in jail?
Well, precisely. And then that's one of those issues that as a 46-year-old man, he needs to step up and recognize.
Yes, he does.
And if he is found not guilty, if there's this air of invincibility, he needs to understand it's going to be under the eye even more so. And not only that, the people who are out there who are looking to make a fast buck, they're going to gravitate towards him even more so. And so I would just, it's like, Mike, look, you found not guilty, bro. Look, stop having kids to the crib. Get you a couple of big burly brothers around you, and if you get the feeling that you want to call up a bunch of little kids, have them slap you around and say, "Man, do you not forget what you endured?
Absolutely.
For 2 years, $20 million in legal fees, everything else, dude, leave it alone."
And you have children of your own. Okay, you have two babies of your own. Take care of, raise your kids.
And tell them, daggum parents, look, I'm telling you right now, tell them parents, don't be sending your child with Michael Jackson for 6-7 months, having them travel around the world.
Why wouldn't, wait a minute. We talk about parents that love the gravy train, okay? This was not about their baby. This is about the ride on the Michael Jackson magic carpet.
There you go. Come to you right now. I do not recall one time ever spending the night at the house of somebody my parents really knew. Okay, I was talking to my wife about this. I was really thinking back to the places I spent the night. Man, I can't. Somebody I didn't even know.
But I'm
just leaving my child over there.
But wait, I think too. Now, if you hold Michael Jackson out there as, and that's been his reputation, a person that loves the children, we are the world, that whole thing. Think about the Catholic men and women that let their sons and daughters go with priests that they didn't know. Because there's a certain automatic kind of trust that goes with certain types of people.
I agree with the trust issue. I think the only difference between the two is, I mean, first of all, I'm staying at Michael Jackson's house. I'm traveling around the world. I mean, I'm not seeing my folks. My folks are dropping the kids off and they just taking off or whatever. As a former altar boy, when we went on trips to the amusement park or whatever, and, you know, Christian and Catholic conferences, I mean, I recall doing those things. Now, I also recall the man touch you, knock the hell out of.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be the understanding of a whole lot of Catholics, considering how Catholics hold their priest. I mean, they're godlike. I mean, you know, you'd never hit a priest.
Right.
You know, you would.
He about to get caught.
I understand, but you understand my point.
No, I got you. But it's the same thing that whether it's a Catholic church or whether you're a Baptist minister, mm-hmm. it's like that's the minister. You should always respect the man of God, mm-hmm. things along those lines.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, people do make decisions that I leave someone with a person we can trust and we can know. And again, at the end of the day, it's simply sad. It is sad that we have reached a point where we cannot trust people the way we used to trust them. But that is the nature of our society, and we simply have to deal with it.
And I would just, from a spiritual place, I would, I would hope that Michael Jackson used this as an opportunity and accept it as, if Michael Jackson is found not guilty or is convicted on a lesser type of a charge and he doesn't have to do any kind of jail time, look at this as an opportunity that God gave you, an opportunity to see folks for what they are. And and remember that lesson and go forward with that, because it was a cleansing. You did get to see who your friends are and you did get to see who your enemies are, and you need to remember that lesson that's been brought
to
you.
You're absolutely right.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see.
Now, it's going to be. I mean, and to the credit, I know some people have been critical, but look, this jury has been deliberating over 5 days. Everything that we've heard is that, and of course, you know, some people are talking about, you know, well, you didn't have enough blacks on the jury, not a jury of his peers. I disagree. A jury of your peers is frankly where you choose to live. If you choose to live where a bunch of white folks are, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. That's the jury you're going to get. That's the jury.
You know, when your boy get in trouble, you know, you wouldn't, you know, when everything was hunky dory, no black folks around, you didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you get in trouble, all of a sudden you're looking for the brothers. No, don't do that, Doc. You should have moved somewhere where some of us live.
Okay, you're going to get where you live. That is the cost of living there, and that needs to be factored in. That needs to be factored in there.
But the thing that I must say is that clearly this jury is taking its time in examining everything.
But my concern, Roland, is that I don't like it when jurors are not sequestered.
I agree.
If they get to go home, even during deliberations, they're not sequestered. That's a problem.
You're right, and I thought that was extremely surprising that they have the opportunity to see all of the madness, hear these things, as opposed to simply just focusing on. And I know some folks are like, well, you know, I mean, how could you say, you know, look, you know, these people should be sequestered? It is so difficult to tell someone, get in your car, don't listen to the radio.
It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
You go home. Don't talk to anybody.
It doesn't happen.
I've never had to serve on a jury. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I've gone with a call, but that's a little hard, especially in this sort of high profile case as well.
And let's be real, it's impossible. You can't. I do not believe for one second that all of those human beings haven't heard a joke, haven't read a newspaper, or haven't seen a newspaper. How do you even watch TV without, with every moment there's some kind of Michael Jackson comment going on? You know,
right.
and you know, you're going to be able to tell yourself, well, I'll just talk to my husband about this, or I'll just talk to my wife about this, or I'll just talk to my child about this. It's sequestered. That's why you need to be sequestered, so that you can't have, particularly in a case like this, you know, the media is everywhere on this. We don't hear about the Downing Street memo, but we hear about Michael Jackson every hour. You know, so, I mean, that's where
extremely
we are.
Important. Yeah, but you're right. And that's just, I mean, but I really thought they would have been at least sequestered.
For deliberations.
But hey.
Well, okay, so what else is on your mind besides Michael, besides what's going on out there?
Well, you know what? The excerpts were released yesterday, and I was going to write about something else in my syndicated column. And this just shifted everything for me. And that is an unrepentant bigot, former North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms. This man apologizes for his position on the issue of AIDS, but will not apologize for his views on segregation. And I made the point that people need to understand this man, Jesse Helms, is considered the patron saint of the right wing of the Republican Party. And if you want to know why black folks have a problem with Republicans, Jesse Helms is exhibit A. Mm. Because the white folks who held black folks down during Jim Crow and in the civil rights movement is embodied by Jesse Helms. And how was he rewarded? He was made a United States Senator. Became one of the most respected United States Senators who upheld blacks to the federal bench by virtue of putting a hold on their nominations.
And wait a minute, Roland. We have to take a break. Please hold that thought because I want to get into this. I'm talking to Roland S. Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender, joining us from Chicago. This is Liz Brown, and we're looking black. Stay with us.
Trains go by our side, no silver in the rain. We leave our pockets full of nothing but our dreams in the golden grain. Have you seen the folks in line downtown at the station? They're all buying their tickets out and they're talking a great depression. Out in these empty fields and dust as deep as snow.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Arsenal, road problems report. Eastbound 40 from Mason to Hanley, look for traffic to be flowing freely, but starting to stack up a bit. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, everything is on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley, look for no problems there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lee May Ferry, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to the Merrimack River Bridge, everything is moving steady this hour. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, it's normal traffic for your 7:30 commute. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, everything is moving steady. Eastbound 64 at Illinois Route 3, look for construction having the right lane closed. Lindbergh at Patterson, those traffic lights are not working. They're on red flash. And Lindbergh at Lindsay, there's a report of an accident there. The signals are also on flash at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Susan Baston at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, a 40% chance of showers with a high around 90. For this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Another chance for rain with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday, partly cloudy still with a chance for showers with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, still cloudy with another good shot for showers. Even a possible thunderstorm, the low should be around 70. And then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the Looking Black segment that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
Hi, this is Vicki Pimentel inviting you to join me for a little sports talk on a Friday evening. Yeah, tune us in. 6 o'clock on Friday nights, right here on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it. In review, the week ahead in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this week is the executive editor of the Chicago Defender, Roland S. Martin, and he's joining us from Chicago. Roland, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Okay, Jesse Helms.
Oh, man. You know, first of all, I never liked Jesse Helms, even when he was still in the United States Senate. But this new memoir of his is absolutely amazing because he stated that the problem with segregation is that, first of all, that everything should have taken its natural course.
Huh?
That everything should have taken its natural course. That everything was going to be okay. And, quote, outside agitators.
Wait a minute, he's saying this in the year 2005?
Yes, in his memoirs, which is called Where I Stand. And he makes the statement that it was outside agitators with their own agenda who were driving this, and that this social experiment with our educational system almost destroyed it. And he is just, and he makes a point, and he says that I did not endorse segregation, nor was I really against it. Now, people need to understand, this man voted against nearly every piece of civil rights legislation ever to come before the United States Senate. That's why I call him an unrepentant bigot. And because people who support support this man need to be put on notice so they can understand the truth. So that's why in my syndicated column, I really want people to understand. And Liz, this quote was, he said, we will never know how integration might have been achieved in neighborhoods across our land because the opportunity was snatched away by outside agitators who have their own agendas to advance. We certainly do know the price paid by the stirring of hatred, the encouragement of violence, the suspicion and distrust. We do know that too many lives were lost, businesses were destroyed, millions of dollars were diverted from books and teachers to support the cost of buses and gasoline. We do know that turning our public schools into social laboratories almost destroyed them. And so I asked the question that whether Tim's concerned about the black-owned businesses that were destroyed, and also what about the thousands upon thousands of African-Americans who were lynched by these protectors of segregation? What about Emmett Till, whose face was just distorted and mangled by these bigots? Anything to say about them? What about the African-Americans who were there to deal with the beatings and the inhuman living conditions and second-class status in this country?
What?
He doesn't talk about any of those things. He chooses to defend the white way of life in Jim Crow, and we have to call people like him out on it.
What is the natural course that he is referring to? What course is that?
It's sort of like that crap Condoleezza Rice told the Washington Post when she a couple of years ago when she said that segregation was going to naturally go away because, you know, it was just getting so hard for white folks to have to defend it that it was just naturally going to go away. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
It was going to go away because it benefited white folks.
Segregation, Jim Crow, going to go on as long as black folks remained silent and mute and took the beating.
Like saying that eventually the abusive husband is going to stop beating on his own volition. No, you're not.
That's like saying that the freedom fighters in Iraq are going to one day topple Saddam Hussein. See, it's interesting how we love to advance democracy in Iraq and Afghanistan, but we really didn't like it when democracy had to be advanced in America. See, we didn't like it when black soldiers, like I made the point in my column, black blood was shed on the battlefields across the world. And yet we loved it when blacks joined the military to stand under the U.S. flag to protect our rights, to protect our Constitution, yet the same Constitution, the same Bill of Rights, we didn't want to apply to those same black soldiers. See, as what if I ever come across Jesse Helms, I would challenge him straight up on how is it that you can just deny the reality of black existence and how we would treat it and act as if, oh, it was just naturally going to go away.
Well, let's go at it in this direction, Roland. There is a quote from Harold Ford in the paper today talking about the comments that were made by the ongoing comments that are being made by Howard Dean. And Harold Ford makes the comments to the extent of he doesn't speak for me and maybe we ought to consider getting somebody else to head the party. I wonder if we can get white Democrats, white Republicans, or to challenge them on going after a Jesse Helms and his statements the way that they go after a Howard Dean on his statements.
Absolutely. And again, that is what the issue is. And so whenever I get emails from angry white readers for my columns on this whole issue of race, I always put them in check by saying that I am willing to call out anybody black who makes a stupid comment or who shows clear insensitivity. But what you're talking about, and I think what people really need to embrace and really need to understand what I'm saying, is that Jesse Helms was one of the most powerful members of the United States Congress in its history. Mm. That means that this man's personal beliefs affected some of the most far-reaching policy in this nation. Foreign affairs, here in this country. I think it was the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where that was jurisdiction that governed North Carolina. They were down four or five judges. This man deliberately blocked every attempt to put a black judge on the federal bench by waving a letter from a chief justice saying that, no, we don't need you to fill those vacancies. We can handle it by ourselves. And so he used the letter of this chief judge as his cover to block every black judge. Yet, don't you find it interesting when a Republican president got into the White House, all of a sudden they had too much work?
And here's the other piece that I think that people need to remember as well. Jesse Helms wasn't the way that he was, didn't have the beliefs that he had by himself. He had plenty
right.
of road dogs up there in the United States Senate as well.
Right.
Strom Thurmond comes to mind. So it's not as if this is a man that was wandering the halls of the United States Senate,
isolated yes.
and considered that wacky old dude from the South. He had road dogs up there that traveled the same way that he did.
That's why when Harvey Gantt ran against him in that race, and in fact, Harvey Gantt, it appeared as if Gantt was going to beat him, and Jesse Helms played the race card as well as anybody has ever done in American politics.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a television ad saying that your job is going to be taken and a black hand reaches out for a job application. And then
that's all had to be said. That's all
that had
to be
said. And he went on to beat Harvey Gantt. That's what he did. And so when I hear the Armstrong Williams of the world and other black conservatives stand up and talk about this man and talk about, well, how he's changed and he was good, no. This man refused to apologize for segregation. He refused to admit the destructive behavior of white terrorists against blacks. And it's in his own words, in his own memoir, I was wrong on the issue of AIDS.
But nothing else.
But I am apologizing on segregation. Oh, see,
well,
I don't know where you stand. And you're right. It's those Republicans who continue to run with him, who continue to look to him for advice, who need to be stand up and say, I'm sorry, Jesse, it's wrong, and that's why I took after Vice President Dick Cheney. How dare you stand up at Strom Thurmond's funeral and talk about his run for president in 1948 if you refuse to even tell the people that he did so as a segregationist?
And we have to take a break. And, Roland, I would just like to correct you. In all fairness, if Armstrong Williams said it, he was paid to say it. We got to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. I'm talking to Roland Martin. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Nuevo Laredo. A hot and heavy turf battle between two drug gangs resulted in the death of the police chief of this border town. Alejandro Dominguez was shot to death less than 12 hours after taking over the police chief's job. Nuevo Laredo is the busiest border crossing for cargo trucks on their way to the United States. Since the beginning of the year, over 60 people have been killed in continuing violence, putting a virtual halt to U.S. tourists flooding over the border to shop and have a good time. U.S. officials say if the situation continues, Mexican-American trade commerce could come to a standstill. Witnesses said a group of men pulled up next to the police chief's pickup truck in three dark-colored SUVs and opened fire. The men then got out and riddled the truck even more, shooting Dominguez dozens of times. They then got back into their vehicles and slowly disappeared into the night. City officials said they'd been looking for a new police chief since early last month, but Dominguez was the only person who applied for the job. He had been the leader of the local Chamber of Commerce and a former anti-drug official at the Federal Attorney General's office. And Dateline Ottawa. The Canadian Supreme Court has ruled that residents of Canada do have a right to seek private care outside of the nation's universal health care system. The court says that long delays, a lack of doctors, and other problems are putting citizens' health at risk. The ruling takes effect immediately, although the government of Quebec says it's going to ask for a stay on the matter for 2 years to gain time to implement the new policy in order not to upset the delivery of medical services. Canada has always felt that its system of free health care and cheap drugs was superior to that of the United States, where some 45 million people have no health insurance at all. A Canadian doctor and his patient started the legal challenge to outside care back in 1997, after that patient had to wait a year for hip replacement surgery. The court agreed that delays increase the risk of mortality and also increase the likelihood that conditions can become irreparable, preventing people from enjoying any real quality of life. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Are you ready to step out?
If I go a million miles away, I'd write a letter each and every day, 'cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you. And you can pass me by, but honey, nothing can ever change this.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. I am talking to Roland S. Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender, joining us from Chicago. So what else is on your mind, Roland? What else caught your eye?
You were jamming at Sam Cooke's head. One of the best CDs ever, Sam Cooke Live at the Harlem Club in Miami. That's just off the chain. I'm going to be 36, but I have no good music.
So what else has been catching your eye?
You know, actually, speaking of being making a segue to music, I was making this comment to some friends of mine. I said, in many ways, I envy my parents. And they're like, well, why? I said, well, because, I said, they get to listen to Temptations and Marvin Gaye and Sam Cooke. I said, because my parents are 58. I said, well, we're 58. What the hell are we going to be listening to?
Mm.
I said, and it really evolved into this very interesting conversation. I said, what are you going to be listening to? Ludacris?
Mm.
Nelly, it's getting hot in here.
Mm.
I said, what? It was so interesting that we began to talk about this whole issue of what is going to be defined as a classic for this generation.
Mm.
Is it going to be, Salt and Pepper's Push It?
Mm.
And it was just an interesting, you know, dialogue we were having just on this whole notion of music and how it impacts a particular generation.
Well, what's going to happen is it's going to be Sam Cooke. It's going to be the same stuff.
I'm going to listen to it. You're right. It will be Sam Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
It will be Otis
mm-hmm.
Redding. It's really one of those interesting things in terms of how you define classic music and how, you know, what music speaks about a generation. So whenever I'm around my parents and their friends and my relatives, their age, the music of today sets the tone in many ways for the generation.
And it does, and I think what there also has to be in there the discussion of what constitutes a timeless piece. And a timeless piece is something that you can listen to again and again, and a piece that leaves you in a contented state, you know, because... Exactly. And it never is dated, and it never is just simply a song about a place that you were in your life at that time. It's music that transcends that.
And again, because wherever I listen to people talk about those kinds of music, automatically, I mean, it's amazing how they can relate to where they first were, a certain dance, a certain, you know, something happening. Again, the music... had a direct correlation with their life at that time. And the thing that I just hate, and I really do, and I mean, people don't understand, I love music. I got country, I got jazz, I got R&B.
Got to.
Everything mixed up in there.
I'm
a music connoisseur.
Got to be. Because that's what love of music is that you're able to feel stuff in all genres.
And what I can't stand is, and I say, when we have that sort of affection and affinity and tie-in to music today, and I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think so. Because I think even songs that we may say is great, we love it right now, 6 months later, a year later, it's completely gone. You never hear it again. So that's why I think it's interesting. There's a radio station in Los Angeles that is now a oldies hip-hop station.
Huh?
Yeah. They basically the whole space 24-hour station. They are playing really music from the beginning of hip hop. But even when I saw the story, I was like, okay, but I still said, but there doesn't seem to be that same connection with the music and how it speaks to our lives today.
I think that we are at the time where, okay, yeah, we're 20 years out from hip hop. It's time to do oldies hip hop, but I don't think it's going to be the same. I really don't think that it's going to be that same warm and fuzzy feeling that you get from hearing these other songs.
Listen, when I heard, you may recall that television commercial. I think it was Reebok when they used "Just My Imagination" with Temptations.
Mm.
When they had the brother on the playground court,
mm-hmm.
he said, "I'm on the court and I see Michael out my left eye." I see Lip Chamberlain out my right eye. I see Bill Russell. I see Oscar Robertson. And then he said, just my imagination.
Yes, I do.
That commercial was just so off-book. I was sitting there thinking, how can they do that same commercial with Tupac? I mean, we were cracking up about it. But we were really just on this whole thing of today's music, and really, will it be defined as classic? Will it be stuff that we want to play publicly at a house party around friends, playing bidwins, playing spades, eating food, and we gonna play "Bitch Better Have My Money"? I mean, come on, I really hope people think about it in that way, because that defines our view.
But it also defines the state of how music is pushed upon us today. It's different than it was back in 1960, 1950, not even the 1970s. It's different. And it's different the way that music is played on the radio today with Clear Channel, with all of the things that are being done with making people attach themselves to music is artificial. So, you know, if it's an artificial attachment to begin with, how can it last?
Absolutely. How can that last? And how do we view those pioneers of our times? I mean, we see how, even though he was one tough SOB, how we view Berry Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
For what I'm writing about next week is interesting. How we view Bob Johnson, who recently stepped down as CEO.
I know how I do.
It's just one of those things that it causes you to really think about how we view it based upon our present society. And so I have so many conflicting emotions about Bob Johnson. On one hand, the businessman. On the other hand, how, you know, DT frankly hasn't done anything when it comes to upliftment of this race.
Missed opportunity. It's a missed opportunity. And we have to go. Roland S.
Roland.
How can people get in touch the Chicago Defender?
Check us out, ChicagoDefender.com. We are online, Liz. We also 3 weeks ago launched a podcast. So we have some great, great interviews you can also catch online as well.
Outstanding.
So ChicagoDefender.com.
Outstanding. Roland S. Martin, thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ADC News. I'm Joan Bennett. The Army trying out new incentives to lure wartime recruits. The Army is expected to miss its monthly recruitment goal for May by 25%, the fourth straight month of failing to meet sign-up quotas.
If the Army is going to reach its goal of 80,000 recruits by the end of the fiscal year in September, it will have to land more than 9,700 recruits a month between now and then.
Says ABC's Keith Garvin. So the Pentagon will reportedly relax requirements for new officers, welcoming older candidates. It's also talk of doubling the top cash bonus for new recruits to $40,000. Day 6 of jury deliberations in Michael Jackson's case. Let's go live to ABC's Alex Stone in Santa Maria. Alex?
Joan, some legal analysts are calling this Verdict Friday because juries sometimes want to wrap up at the end of a week, but truthfully, nobody knows. The jury has not given any clues as to when a verdict might be coming. Jurors will go home for the weekend. So the crowd has gotten so rowdy that one network correspondent now has a restraining order against one Jackson supporter, Joan.
ABC's Alex Stone live from Santa Maria. Kids in hot cars. It's a deadly week for toddlers in daycare vans. A 3-year-old boy was found dead in a van at his daycare center in Little Rock on Monday. Yesterday, a 2-year-old girl was left in a daycare van in West Allis, Wisconsin, with tragic results. This mother was at the center when the discovery was made.
This lady was screaming, "Where's my kid? Where's my kid?" They go, "My kid has been in this. You guys had my kid, picked up my kids at 7 o'clock this morning, and you're trying to tell me you haven't seen my kid all day."
In Ocala, Florida, 3 daycare workers charged with neglect after a 3-year-old boy was left in a hot van. He remains in critical condition. Tropical storm Arlene getting stronger as it moves northward through the Gulf of Mexico, bearing down on the U.S. Gulf Coast. Warnings and watches posted from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. This is ABC News.
How do people react when they get a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price on Hotwire.com? When they discover that Hotwire.com consistently beats other sites on hotels? Let's find out.
Honey, I'm going to find a hotel in Boston for my family reunion.
All right.
Let's see. There's a 4-star hotel on Travelocity for $159 a night.
Ouch.
I don't think so. Orbit's $154. Mm. And on Hotwire, a 4-star hotel with a gym in Cambridge for... Oh, honey, look at this. $104 a night.
$104 a night? Yes!
And now let's slow down the tape to more fully understand Bob's reaction.
$104 a night?
Yes. saved enough for a big fat steak dinner and maybe even a new table saw. Why didn't I go to Hotwire sooner?
Yes.
Ah, much clearer. Log on to Hotwire.com, spend less on hotels and more on power tools.
Hotwire.com. Based on February 2005 comparisons, not including taxes or fees. Prices subject to change and availability.
A warning from the top for home buyers who resort to creative financing to get their dream house. ABC's Lisa Stark with more on Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan's comments regarding interest-only loans to lower their monthly bills, but they build no equity.
The Fed chairman warned about home buyers trying to buy more than they can afford.
The dramatic increase in the prevalence of interest-only loans, as well as the introduction of other relatively exotic forms of adjustable-rate mortgages, are developments of particular concern.
The Mortgage Bankers Association says for the right people under the right circumstances, these are the perfect deal. But they do say these loans are not for everyone and that lenders are trying to exercise more caution in who gets these loans.
The U.S. trade deficit shot up 12% in April to a new record. Citigroup says it'll pay $2 billion to settle a class action lawsuit over its role in the sale of Enron stock. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, police in Centralia are concerned that there may be more victims after an HIV-positive man was accused of molesting a child. 38-year-old Larry Foster is charged with aggravated sexual assault and criminal transmission of HIV after he allegedly raped an 8-year-old runaway boy. Centralia Police Chief Larry Evans calls this a tragic situation.
It's the first time that we've had a charge where we have arrested a person for criminal transmission of HIV, and then to have it have the victim be an 8-year-old or any juvenile, it is tragic.
The boy has been reunited with his parents and treated with the medication used to prevent the transmission of HIV after early exposure. Anyone who has had contact with Foster should call Centralia Police at 618-533-7602. A Caruthersville, Missouri man will spend life in prison without parole for his role in a murder-for-hire plot. Tyrese Hiles was convicted last week of interstate murder-for-hire and conspiracy to commit interstate murder-for-hire. Prosecutors say Hiles recruited Amicio Cannon of Memphis, Tennessee, to kill Coy Smith in August 2002 after Smith testified against Hiles. Cannon was convicted in March of conspiracy to commit interstate murder-for-hire and faces life in prison when sentenced later this month. The St. Louis Zoo is defending itself against accusations surrounding the recent death of Churchill the polar bear. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has asked the USDA to launch a full investigation into the death of the animal. They claim the items found in Churchill's stomach were left in the bear pit by a zookeeper. They also allege that the zoo waited too long to treat the animal. Dr. Eric Miller, the director of the zoo's Wild Care Institute, says it's ridiculous to blame Churchill's death on the people who cared for him the most. Churchill died last month during surgery to remove bits of cloth and plastic found in his stomach. Zoo officials say they are not sure how the items got into the bear pit, but it's likely they simply blew in. Finally this hour, after having yesterday off, the Cardinals return to the field tonight in the opener of a 3-game set with the Yankees. Jason Marquis goes to the mound for the Redbirds, having won his last two starts, to raise his record to 7-3 with an ERA of 3.5. Rookie Tianming Wang starts for New York and is 3-1 on the season. The right-hander leads all Yankee starters with a 4.03 ERA and has allowed only one home run in 44 and two-thirds innings pitched. Tomorrow's game pits Mark Mulder against Randy Johnson, and Matt Morris and Carl Pavano will tangle in the finale on Sunday. This series also marks the return of former Cardinals Tino Martinez, Tony Womack, and manager Joe Torre. The Yankees come into the series mired in fourth place in the AL East with a record of 29-30, while the Cards are off to their best start since their 1944 World Championship season at 38-21. First pitch is 7:10 this evening at Busch Stadium. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Weber and Potomac, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Laclede Station, everything is running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to West Florissant, nothing to report this hour. Westbound 255 from Cope to 55, everything is on the move. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Watson, nothing to report there. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 5570 between 4th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow stop-and-go traffic in the right lane especially. Westbound 64 just before the 5570 merge. Everything is on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good on that bridge as well. Eastbound 64 at St. Clair. There's road construction. Right lane is closed and traffic backs up to the 5570 merge. Lindbergh at Patterson. Traffic lights are not working. They're on red flash. Lindbergh at Lindsay. There's a report of an accident, and that's... those lights are also on red flash as well. McCausland, northbound at Manchester, there's an accident involving a bus on the shoulder. And northbound McCausland at Waldemar, look for the right lane to be blocked to the utility crew taking out a fallen tree at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic maintenance. And when it's time, make sure you bring your Toyota to a local Toyota dealer offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, 40% chance of showers, high around 90. This evening, mostly cloudy in early in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a chance for thunderstorms, a 40% chance actually, with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 80s and a chance for showers throughout the day. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70, and those chance for showers will continue. And then on Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,
black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Please don't forget we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I guess we need to ask the question, how we doing out there? As we find ourselves walking through the history where we find ourselves in, the Downing Street memo that suggests that our good government's plan was to go in despite anything we were going into Iraq. We were also told by our good government that we would be welcomed as liberators when we got there. We have also are also being told by our good government that democracy is being brought to a willing people, that the losses and the hardships that we are feeling here at home from a $1 trillion expenditure in Iraq, it's well worth the money because we are bringing democracy to a willing people. We are also at a point in our history where our good military has said that while we somewhat count our soldiers and their casualties, we're not as clear on injuries, war-related injuries, because that's a whole other topic of what's a war-related injury and what is not. Our military is very clear that we don't count Iraqi civilians as casualty or by number. So how are we doing out there? Do they want us there? Do they like us there? Are we behaving right there? Oh, we need to have that conversation. And I have with me, from joining us from Western Virginia, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force, Karen Katowski, joining us this morning on the Wake Up Call. Colonel, good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. So, how are we doing out there?
I think you kind of set the stage. We were lied into a war. Everything about it, the motivation, the operation, the rationale, everything. What we're doing, there's no truth. We're not doing very well. I think the recruitment numbers back home tell you that the average American, whether it's a mother and a father of a teenager or the students in the high schools themselves, recognize very well that this is not a war that brings credit to the United States of America. Mm. They don't want to be involved in it.
Mm. How are the Iraqi people seeing us?
Well, I think that's pretty clear. We don't count Iraqi civilian casualties, and we don't report those numbers for a reason, because those numbers are very high. The things that we do that are reported back in the States, like last November's attack on Fallujah, what we see is there's a military operation. What the Iraqis see is a city of 300,000 people was basically leveled. I don't know how you could call that nation building. I don't know how you could call that democracy. how you could call that, freedom. That's how the Iraqis see it. They see their cities being destroyed. They've been under martial law since before their so-called elections in January. That martial law has not been lifted.
And Colonel, don't we also have to when we are assessing an entire city being leveled in Fallujah, there were over 1,000 churches in Fallujah. I mean, it was a city of churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, religious, a lot of religious significance. But that doesn't matter to the policymakers in our good government, as you call it. It doesn't seem to matter. It's interesting that George W. Bush was upset that Newsweek used an improper source in saying that we desecrated the Koran. George W. Bush's forces, American soldiers and Marines, have participated in the desecration of far more than a book or two. Fallujah is a prime example of that, a prime example, as you pointed out. And of course, Americans don't really get to hear that, the significance of the destruction that we've done. You know, another thing beyond religious destruction, I just read the other day something that we did almost 2 years ago after we took control of Baghdad. We got rid of a monument that the Iraqis had for the founder of the Ba'ath Party, who, while not a religious symbol at all, was a symbol of Iraqi political independence at the time that the Ba'ath Party emerged. This guy was kind of a nationalist. Okay, he was a leader of a people who weren't really a people yet, the Iraqi people, still being formed. But we didn't just desecrate that; we totally eliminated it, removed his tomb, and leveled the whole area of the museum and the monument. Totally got rid of it. So there's something that says something to the Iraqi people. It really says something to them about what we're there about. I mean, can you imagine if the Jefferson Memorial was raised by an occupying force because they wanted to bring us democracy? Can you imagine that? How would Americans feel about the symbology of that? We've done that to them multiple times, starting from the very beginning of the occupation.
I was watching a film last week called Voices in Wartime. It's about poets that were articulating what war is all about. And they interviewed this one Iraqi poet. And the thing that he said that struck me so profoundly was he said that the view of Americans in Iraq, you know, that he said initially we had the view that they were cowboys, but they were a people without a civilization. And that was the explanation to him of why it was so easy for our military to come in and destroy their civilization, because we've never had a civilization. We're 200 years old. Their civilization, their history, thousands of years old.
Sure. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Our attitude is not always. Americans' attitudes have not always been this way, but it seems modern times, particularly this administration, their attitude is the old things are not good. Sweep it away, make something new. Radical reform, radical change, it's all good if we say it's good. And if you have the military power, which we do in this country, we have that impressive, unchallengeable military, power, that we can just go do these things. And it doesn't reflect well on our country. If you believe we have a democracy in this country, it doesn't reflect well on our democracy. Because all Americans, we can say, the Bush administration did this. They did indeed do this. But the Congress let them. The American people let this happen. 2 years later, we realize, no WMDs, no weapons of mass destruction, no relation with Al-Qaeda, no relation to 9/11. We all know that now, but we allowed this to happen. All Americans are culpable. Whether they voted for Bush or not, we all bear the burden. It's our democracy, and we went and did this thing.
And it's being done in our name.
It's being done in our name, absolutely. And if any of us traveled overseas or visited Iraq, we are not going to be judged on the here's my view on it. I thought this shouldn't have happened or whatever. We're not going to be judged on that. We're going to be judged as Americans. And our country has conducted itself in such a way that each of us has created new enemies. We have these enemies, and it's going to take a lot of work to turn this situation around. Tons of work, years, generations perhaps.
We're all in danger as a result of this.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
So as a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, how are other retired military people responding to this, or how are other military people responding to this?
Well, there's a couple of different things. I think you're seeing an astounding silence from many of the retired generals, people who have gotten out of the military, and some of them due to disagreements about the way this has happened. General Shinseki, former chief of staff of the Army, who warned the administration that you could not do what you were trying to do with a certain number of troops. The planning was fouled up. He warned about that. They got rid of him. He has not spoken out. Shinseki has not spoken out. General Zinni, who spoke out while he was still working for George W. Bush back in November of 2002, was quietly fired from his job as Middle East envoy and has held no government positions and has been relatively quiet, although he understands very well and has, to his credit, spoken about the disastrous policies that this administration has pursued in the Middle East. And he knows them because he was the Tommy Franks predecessor. So he knows very well, understands the region very well. Other retired folks have quietly gone off and not said anything. I think amongst the retired folks, it's frustrating that they're not challenging the administration. And part of that may be that many retired officers, senior officers in particular, find work in not private industry but the military-industrial complex, which I don't credit as being private industry since most of their income comes directly from the American taxpayer. They find their jobs as part of the good government, as you described it. And so it's very difficult in those jobs, even though they're retired, to speak out. Now, amongst the soldiers, young people in the 20s and 30s, obviously we have 30s and 40s with the National Guard. Mm-hmm. 40% of our troops over there are Guard and Reserve, and they have families back home, they have businesses and jobs back home. Some of them do. Some of them have lost those jobs. But these guys, having seen what we're doing in Iraq, many of them, I think, feel betrayed by George W. Bush, by the administration, by Rumsfeld, because the reasons they were told they were going, those reasons that you said, no democracy, liberation, freedom, that we would be welcomed, that we were going to really just free Iraq of a terrible dictator and give them their country back, they understand very well that that's not what they're doing, and that's not what this country's doing. And I think many of them are waking up the hard way to the lies. And, of course, they're the ones paying, in terms of American costs, they're paying the most specifically. They're coming back wounded, without arms and legs, without eyes or faces. They're coming back, if they're Guard and Reserve, many of them are coming back, and they have to sue to get their job back. If they were privately, if they were entrepreneurs or businessmen, veterinarians, dentists, people like that, they come back and find out that, you know, since they closed up for a year, their business is gone. There is no... the customers have found new suppliers, new providers. So these folks are realizing that they've been used for something that Washington wanted. Now, you know, there are real reasons why Washington, why the Bush administration wanted to go into Iraq, but none of those have been shared with the American people.
Well, the Downing Street memo helps share some, put some light on that. Now, I'd like to ask you this, because, again, you are you were with the military, retired colonel with the military.
And I worked up in the policy department for Near East South Asia, which did the Iraq work.
So have right now, I think it would be fair to assess and to describe what we're doing in Iraq is basically we are an occupier. We are an occupying military.
Yes.
Have we ever been trained to be an occupying military? Is this what the American military has been all about?
Oh, no, not at all.
So we're not even trained to do what we're doing right now.
No, and for many months, almost a year, we refused to admit that we were an occupying military, because if you call yourself an occupation force or an occupying military, you have a certain set of guidelines and rules internationally accepted that we as a nation have agreed to.
For example?
Well, you have to preserve rights of the citizens. You have to preserve their economy in a local, national-type sense. You cannot usurp their economic resources. Now, this is one that's, of course, a particularly sticking. It's a tough point for many of the Iraqis. They have one big thing that they sell to the world, and that's oil. Mm-hmm. They sell other things. So they have agricultural products. It's a very diverse economy. But for the most part, their big moneymaker is oil. We know that, obviously. Second-largest oil fields. In a great state of disrepair, not producing, but potentially that's their economic engine. One of the things that Jerry Bremer did when he was there is basically take that over. George Bush signed a couple of executive orders which said that the United States is in charge of those resources and that we would allocate them, organize them, and manage them as United States resources. And that is in violation of of legal occupation rules.
But if you don't call yourself an occupier.
Yeah, you can't do that. If you're occupying, there are certain rights that the country you're occupying retains, and they retain rights to their national resources, their natural resources, and their people, their economy, and that kind of thing. You can do things that help the people, but it's kind of like if you're a caretaker, like if you're an executor of a will, right? You can't just take all the guy's stuff. You have certain legal responsibilities to caretake the estate. But you can't just say, okay, I'm the executor, so I'm just going to reach in there and take like 90% of it. You can't. That's illegal. And it's illegal for countries who occupy to do that. And yet we have, in fact, conducted ourselves in a way that has yet to be seen if we'll be held accountable for it. But
well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that it's a war of words, because it's the same thing like in Guantanamo Bay. When you don't call people prisoners of war,
exactly.
Then you don't think, and you call them enemy combatants, then you get to act lawlessly. If you
that's
don't call
exactly
yourself
right.
an occupier, you can behave lawlessly.
That's exactly right. And you know, the interesting thing with Guantanamo is they have taken now to actually calling them prisoners of war, which changes their legal status and makes us even more accountable for the things that we're doing to some of those folks down there. And, you know, George Bush and Dick Cheney says we're treating everybody real nice down there at Guantanamo, except for the ones that die. So you just have to wonder how much in touch with reality they are and how long they think that their glossy stories that they put out from Washington are going to be accepted by people.
Now, Colonel, we have talked about how what's happening with the retired military folks and their assessment of what we're doing in Iraq. I'd like to talk about John Riggs when we come back, if we can. I'm talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski, U.S. Air Force, joining us from Western Virginia. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. How we doing out there? We'll be back.
I went to the mountain, but I always lose the war. I keep right on stumbling, and there's no man's land out here. But I know. There must be a better world somewhere.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Northbound 270 at Marshall Road, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Traffic is stop and go from Graboid to 44. Eastbound 40 between 14th Street, look for an accident. Moved to the 14th Street exit ramp. Traffic backs up to Jefferson this hour. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and 44. No problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for a very slow volume at this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Falls Ferry to Washington Elizabeth. Everything is on the move. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from the Merrimack River Bridge to 270. Look for traffic to be slow in the right lane as you hit those approaches to 270 at this hour. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, you've got slow volume there. Eastbound 40 between Clayton and Warson, look for very heavy traffic this hour. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. Look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. Lindbergh at Patterson. Look for those traffic signals to have been repaired. Lindbergh at Lindsay, those traffic signals are still out. And northbound McCausland at Waldemere. Look for the right lane to be blocked due to utilities crews removing a tree that has fallen. Also, Lindbergh at Charbonnier, look for those traffic signals not to be working. And Garner at McCausland is blocked due to fallen trees as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Delayed because of that accident this morning on Highway 40, don't end up with that car. Ask your dealer for a Carfax Vehicle History Report, now with a buyback guarantee, or visit Carfax.com. That's CARFAX.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, a high around 90 this evening, mostly cloudy. In the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a 40% chance of showers. The low should be in the lower 70s. Moving on to Saturday, partly sunny skies. A chance for showers with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with another chance for showers with a low around 70. And then on Sunday, look for partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we've creeped up to 74 degrees with cloudy skies. Lambert Field is still holding steady at 73 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call, and we'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Something cool to do, explore a spring at Rockwoods Reservation, Wednesday, June 15th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. If you're 6 years of age or over, you'll enjoy looking for aquatic creatures to catch and release. Wear wading shoes and dress for a mess. Call 636-458-2236 and register today. News to you from WGNU.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And if you missed an hour, you can get an hour every day. The Wake Up Call is archived on whiterosesociety.org. So you can always pick up a show that you might have missed and listen to it throughout your day at all kinds of progressive radio talk show hosts. You can catch their shows there as well, whiterosesociety.org. I'm Liz Brown, and right now we are trying to see how we're doing out there. How are we doing? How are we being seen? How are we treating people as we continue our occupation in Iraq? Our guest this hour is retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski, U.S. Air Force, joining us from Western Virginia. Colonel, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about John Riggs. I'd like to talk about General John Riggs. Can you give us some background on him?
Well, he was a three-star Army general, 39 years of service. Nothing bad in his record, but he made a mistake this last year in speaking out about how stretched the Army was, in part due to these operations, these never-ending continuous operations in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And he said, we need more people. We need to change how we're doing business. We've got a problem here. He's basically telling the truth. That was his mistake. He was brought up on charges. And
what charges were... What were the charges? I mean, were the charges that ever even reached his jacket?
They never went into his record. They were inconsequential kinds of things that are normally handled simply by stopping, you know, by fixing them as you go along. Certainly at that level, at the three-star general level, these are the kinds of things that you say to the general, fix it, and it gets fixed. He had contractors, and you know, the interesting thing, I'll tell you a little bit about what they got him for. They said that he had contractors working for him who were actually drafting policy documents for the Congress, and that's improper, that's inappropriate. Military people can do that, civil service people can do that, but contractors in the Pentagon cannot write and approve or put together testimony or advice. Technically, they can't lobby the Congress because they're paid for by the taxpayer, and we don't pay people to lobby Congress. So to keep it clean, only military uniformed people and civil servants, professional civil servants who have taken oaths of loyalty to the Constitution, et cetera, can write this testimony to Congress. And so he had they're over part of the overstretching. They had lots of contractors working in the Pentagon, and happened one of these people had done that. So instead of just saying, fix it, cease and desist, let's solve that problem, and, of course, it never did make it into his jacket or his record or anything, they used this as the excuse to downgrade him one star and retire him. He was given 24 hours to leave the Army. He had no ceremony, no retirement ceremony, and that's quite frankly unheard of. Almost everyone in the military has a retirement ceremony if they want one, and generals don't get the choice. Generals have one even if they don't want one because it's just part of the military tradition and the way you show respect for their service. So in any case, he's drummed out of the Army for not for this particular issue that they said it was for, this allowing a contractor to help write testimony, but because he spoke out honestly about the situation, the real situation in the United States Army.
But Colonel, how do you lose a star? How does a general normally lose a star?
Well, usually you have to commit some kind of crime. Previously, generals who have lost stars have committed crimes, and sometimes they're a lot of times they are related to personal misconduct, sexual misconduct, violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Of course, that doesn't apply to Riggs. He didn't violate any Uniform Code of Military Justice. It was an administrative type of error. But if you violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice, there are many things in there that are forbidden. Obviously, adultery, certain types of misuse of power, this kind of thing. A number of things, all kinds of crimes, fraud, all these things. And this is usually how generals lose rank.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
During Tailhook, did someone lose a star?
No.
No,
they didn't. Because while they groped, you know, and supported an environment that allowed for the groping not just of young women, but of older people, too. I mean, there was a 65-year-old couple that was groped. I mean, this is just insane. But, no, those generals in charge of the Navy that had clearly and admittedly, I think, been found guilty of creating an environment that fostered this, they did not lose a star.
I was just trying to put it in perspective. I mean,
sure. Yeah, to put it in perspective is you can do quite a many things to your fellow military members. You can do many things that are improper to civilians. You can violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But if you speak the truth in the Rumsfeld Pentagon or in the Bush administration, you will lose your job, and you will lose it in a way that not only costs you financially, which is irrelevant, it costs you in terms of your personal honor, your credibility. It's a huge slap in the face. This guy, General Riggs in particular, he has a distinguished flying cross for bravery during Vietnam. He is a sterling record.
39 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a general that of the kind that we should be promoting and keeping in the United States military, particularly in this time where we need good leadership. But instead, again, he made the mistake of speaking honestly, and he's out now. He's punished. He's reduced in rank. This is similar, not exactly the same, but you know, Brigadier General Karpinski was busted down to colonel. She also said, here's what I saw, very honestly. She testified, and they said, well, that's not the storyline, that's not the public line. She basically pointed the finger at Chavez, General Chavez over there, who, in fact, is getting a promotion, I believe, not a reduction in rank. She went down to colonel from brigadier general. And then we also have the case of a lesser known case of a JAG officer, a three-star or two-star, I think he's a three-star JAG officer in the Air Force, who also went up against General Rumsfeld, and he was brought up on charges of improper relationships with female subordinates, not sexual, it wasn't adultery. He was a married man. They did not charge him with adultery, but improper relationships with female subordinates, and he was busted down in rank, I believe, several levels, and, of course, discharged. And so basically, if you challenge the party line, the storyline, whether you have the truth on your side or not, your job is in danger, your legacy is in danger, your honor will be attacked. And now, in Riggs's case, in General Riggs's case, there are many retired Army generals, I think about 40 of them, who are working as hard as they can to restore his rank and to deal with this situation. Most of the people who are punished for telling the truth in the military don't have that kind of a force behind them, which is good to see that retired generals are stepping up to the plate and addressing some of these really wrong behaviors. And, you know, we pay military salary. We pay the president's salary. We expect them to tell the truth. We expect them to reward truth tellers and not to punish them.
And, again, the truth that General Riggs said was?
He said the military's overstretched. He said the Army is in a tough spot. And if you want to keep doing the things you're doing in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iran, the other places that are on George Bush's list, if you want to do these things, you got to increase the size of the Army. That's all he said. And quite frankly, the average American knows this already. You know, we already saw the latest Army recruiting. They're not meeting their goals, okay? That right there tells you there's a problem. All he did was say not just the truth, but he made a very obvious statement of the truth. The problem was that that's the opposite of what Rumsfeld and Bush are saying. So he contradicted, he basically exposed their lies. It wasn't so much that he told the truth, the American people know the truth, but he exposed the fact that the senior civilians that run the Pentagon and the White House have basically once again been caught in a bald-faced lie. This is a problem. This is a very much a problem, and the way they solve it is they fire the guy, bust him down in rank, treat him like, you know, dirt, try to destroy their reputation. And not just does it deal with the individual at hand, it sends a very chilling message, of course, to all other people who might be considering, should I tell the truth? Should I stand up and do the right thing, or should I just keep my head down and keep my job?
We're talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel with the U.S. Air Force, Karen Katowski. She's joining us in Western Virginia. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. We will be back. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Every time I sing this song, Georgia, oh Georgia, it holds me through. This old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you by
BlackOwnWeb.com, an internet directory of black-owned businesses. To find a black-owned business, log on www.blackownedweb.com, or to get your business listed, call 994-3107, 994-3107, BlackOwnedWeb.com.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Riyadh. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia forbids females to drive automobiles. Conservative Saudis say that if women were permitted to drive, it would expose them to strange men and encourage young people to date. That would go against the traditional practice of arranged marriage. But now a movement has begun to lift the ban on female drivers, saying the current practice of hiring drivers from foreign countries is even further away from Islamic law and is also an unnecessary expense on Saudi families that cannot afford to do it. But a member of Saudi Arabia's advisory council has stirred up such a controversy by asking for repeal of the law that he has had death threats made against him and his family, and has also had a call go out to remove him from that council. Mohammed Al-Zulfa says he knew his idea would be controversial, but he did not expect quite such a harsh backlash. Even so, he says he's glad that a public debate on the matter is even taking place at all, and he hopes his colleagues on that council will be courageous enough to go forward with the idea. Saudi women leaders say they're hoping the government will give them the right to drive in the same way the late King Faisal mandated education for girls back in 1960, a decision that was also very controversial at that time. This is your wake-up call global news update brought to you by
BlackOwnedWeb.com, an internet directory of black-owned businesses. To find a black-owned business, log on www.blackownedweb.com, or to get your business listed, call 994-3107, 994-3107, BlackOwnedWeb.com.
What's up, St. Louis? This is George Cotton.
And I'm Syl Wilson.
And, of course, we're your host of The Real Deal with George and Syl.
The place where you end and start the week.
Tune us in every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WGNU.
That's right, The Real Deal with George and Syl, the show that gives intelligence and logic a vacation.
What's that supposed to mean?
Don't worry about it. You'll catch on later.
Okay, so join us for an informative and controversial talk show all on the weekend.
The Real Deal with George and Syl every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m.
We'll see you on the radio. Even though the streets
are... To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
And we're looking for a place to hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side. And I said, hey, Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Woo-hoo!
Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Fanny.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kotowski with the U.S. Air Force. She's joining us from Western Virginia, and we're talking about the state of our occupation force and the cost of those that tell the truth. Colonel, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have a statement, a question I would like to ask Colonel Kutowski. First of all, Colonel, I'd like to thank you for your service. And the statement or question I have is, the highest-ranking person who took a hit at Abu Ghraib prison was a woman. Is this a sort of symptomatic symbol of how women are treated in the service? I'll call up and listen to your response. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Dimitri.
You know, that's an interesting question. I believe that it's more symptomatic of how reservists are treated in this current administration. They are disrespected. They are second-class citizens in the Army. They're not, in real terms, they're not, but the way the administration treats them, the level of training for years for reservists has been less. They're kind of used as disposable, and I think if you look at the folks punished for Abu Ghraib at all levels, what you see is not so much men and women. You do see men and women, but what you see is a common link is their reserve status. In fact, there is a two-star female general, active duty Army, who ran the intelligence organization, commanded the intelligence battalion, I think, there. She has done well. She currently commands at Fort Huachuca, Arizona. She has done well for herself. There is a lower-ranking female who is in charge of interrogation, an Army, active duty Army captain. She also has done well and has not been punished. So it's not a matter of women being punished. It's a matter of those that are expendable. And the common link really is that these are reservists. And reservists don't have the political network that the active duty have. They don't have the career pattern that the active duty have.
What do you mean by that?
Simply expendable.
Career pattern, what does that mean?
Well, the kind of jobs that they take as they work full-time from, you know, a year or two here, a year or two there. They serve as an exec for a senior officer. In fact, back to John Riggs. John Riggs had served very closely throughout his career, his senior officer career, with General Shinseki, another truth teller, who was also treated badly by this administration. So, you know, you don't have that opportunity if you're a reservist. You have a different set of connections, power connections, and therefore you are people. They're people that can be punished, and they were punished, and I think that's what I would see when I see what they did to Karpinski, General Karpinski, and others.
And I think that's so interesting, given the fact that this occupation couldn't be fought without the reservists.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've never deployed 40% of our reserves anywhere. Even in Vietnam, we didn't have that kind of numbers. So they are bearing the brunt of this, and they're doing it with less support, with less armor, with less care, with less respect. Everything is less for the reserves than it is for the active duty, and what the active duty are getting is not exceptional in this case of Iraq. But the reservists particularly are taken, and the Guard as well. Also, they are the ones that are taken away from communities that generally don't have strong military support structures back home for their families. Mm-hmm. So when a Guard and reservist leaves, he leaves his family, his relatives, his workplace, his community, which happens to be small-town America, not necessarily associated with a big military base.
Well, that was going to be my next question in terms of how are we doing as a nation with 40% of our reservists involved in this occupation or over in Iraq or in Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, we're not doing well on a community sense and a personal sense, but because, you know, the job creation situation is not good, it's actually probably hiding the true situation of jobs in this country, because these guardsmen and reservists who actually hold jobs in the states when they're not being deployed have been deployed now off and on, some for several tours, for the last 2 years. And these folks have vacated a position. Their work is being done by some other person. When they come back home, many will not have a job, or they'll get a job and they'll displace someone who's been doing that job, really revealing a larger, you know, unemployment situation that we have in this country, or underemployment situation. So I think it's bad, but I'll tell you one statistic I saw just the other day. In the local paper here, the Winchester paper in Virginia, they had an article about the divorce rate of officers and enlisted men, particularly those, well, overall in the Army, and it's gone up. It's actually gone up, doubled or tripled from what it was a few years ago. And that is also a cost, because every divorce you can't treat it as a statistic. Every divorce is a breaking up of a family. It's a disruption of a family. It's a reduction in the living standards for a family. So these are happening, and they're happening most extremely to our Guard and Reserve and our active duty military. Nothing, of course, is being done. Not sure what can be done. But this is another of the cost of this war.
And it's certainly not. And then it's certainly not one that is being discussed, or even discussed as much as factored into the assessment of how we're doing. What is the cost of this war?
Well, they're not interested because, quite frankly, we went into this war for reasons that the Americans were never told, and those reasons are still there. I mean, you know, George W. Bush, the administration, they didn't want Saddam Hussein to be in charge of that country when the sanctions were lifted, because we knew we would not have any business opportunities there at all. They said, you know, we wanted to move our troops from Saudi Arabia. We had Saudi Arabian bases that were under a huge amount of pressure. We wanted new places to base our forces. We have those new bases in Iraq. They're almost done. So many of them are finished.
That's
and
right.
Halliburton and Bechtel built them under American taxpayer paid for it, just like they do for all military base construction. So lots of reasons that to the Bush administration mean that we're having a success. We've built those bases in Iraq. We've moved our troops from Saudi Arabia. We have control of the Iraqi economy. We, the Americans, at least the ones in Washington, get to decide who gets major contracts with this new so-called free country of Iraq. So what if we lose some people and they get divorced and the military's back is broken for the next real need for defense in this country? They don't care about that. That's, to their view, all these things are small beans.
And I guess maybe that explains, because it's always been just inexplicable to me how George W. Bush can have such enthusiasm and be so upbeat about what's going on in the war. The things that he wanted done have been done. So
in
it's
fact,
all good news.
Notice, the George Tenet had received a Presidential Medal of Freedom. So did Jerry Bremer.
Mm-hmm.
These folks have been hugely successful in accomplishing the administration's objectives. The problem is the American people don't share those objectives. We thought it was about freedom and liberation. We don't understand the martial law. We don't understand the 100,000 dead Iraqis. We don't understand why the Arab world hates us. We don't understand the cost and why no one else is chipping in. We see high gas prices, and we don't even understand, if we went there for oil, why it doesn't seem to be reflected. We don't understand any of this. But George Bush wasn't there for that.
And we've got that has got to be the last word. I want to thank you so much. Colonel Karen Kotowski, U.S. Air Force, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back. It's time for Healthy Futures. It's Friday. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Daycare vans turned deadly this week. Three cases of toddlers left behind with tragic results.
Everything's going through my mind. Losing my kids, I don't know what I would do.
Dorothy Brunner was at a daycare center in suburban Milwaukee when a distraught mother discovered that her two-year-old daughter was left inside the center's van for several hours. Temperatures in the 80s. She was found dead. Same thing happened in Little Rock with a three-year-old boy on Monday, and in Ocala, Florida, another three-year-old boy remains in critical condition. Three daycare workers charged with neglect for leaving him in a parked van during a field trip. More money for signing up to serve. ABC's John Bascom says the Army will likely miss recruitment goals for a fourth straight month. It's thinking about beefing up incentives.
Recruiting numbers for all branches of the military are out today, expected to show that getting people to join in time of war is still a tough sell. So the Army's mulling two new incentives, $50,000 in home mortgage help for an 8-year hitch, and up to $40,000 for a select few who have hard-to-find skills that the Army desperately needs.
A Texas judge is expected to issue a ruling today whether state welfare officials were out of bounds when they took a 12-year-old cancer patient away from her parents last weekend when they refused to authorize radiation treatment without a second opinion. Edward Wernicke, father of 12-year-old Katie, who's already undergone chemo and has been declared cancer-free, he says this all started during a consultation.
She says, "Are you ready to go with the radiation?" And I said, "Well, I don't know until I get another opinion." And then CPS is calling my wife on the phone saying, "You've got to do this, or we're going to take your kids away."
Wernicke worried about long-term consequences of radiation. Jurors in the Michael Jackson case will try again today to reach a verdict. Tropical Storm Arlene picking up speed as it moves into the Gulf of Mexico. This is ABC News.
Get the good stuff.
Even with today's high-tech engines, a good old-fashioned oil change is still the most important maintenance you could do. Changing your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles improves fuel economy and dependability and helps you avoid costly repairs. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get quality Napa motor oil for just $1.19 per quart. That's great news for you and your engine. Prices not include state and local taxes and recycling fees.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
Three men dubbed the Grandpa Gang because of their ages, 60s and 70s, were convicted today of robbing 14 banks of more than $1.25 million, often armed with automatic weapons and sometimes fake hand grenades. As if being in a packed subway car twice a day isn't bad enough, female commuters in Tokyo have to deal with gropers, says ABC's Mark Litke. Well, those Japanese trains these days are increasingly infested with creatures they call chikan. They're called gropers in this country. It's always during the most crowded hours. They lean and rub and pinch, and so two-thirds of Tokyo women say that they've been groped on trains this way. The bottom line is the Tokyo subway system is creating cars for women only. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, local NAACP officials are asking St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa to look into an alleged incident of excessive force in North St. Louis. Officers went to 69-year-old Ruby Harriel's home Tuesday to question her grandson. Harriel alleges the officers did not produce a warrant. When she asked for one, they maced and handcuffed her and arrested her for assault. NAACP officials met with Chief Mokwa yesterday and say he expressed a commitment to investigate the incident. Harriel's grandson was questioned yesterday in connection with a murder after the Annie Malone May Day parade. He was released without being charged. The controversial Lakeside 370 plan in St. Peter's now has a developer. The St. Peter's Board of Aldermen approved an agreement last night with Kaplan Development and Investment to develop the property at Highways 370 and 70. St. Peter's Alderman Jerry Hollingsworth says the vote will eventually mean good economic news.
The end result of it will be a $13.5 to $14.5 million profit to the city of St. Peter's. It will move the timetable up on the development for the city.
But Andrew Riney of Safeguard our St. Charles County, who opposes the project, thinks it sounds too good to be true.
I have suspicion that there's a lot in there that's not really being told to the residents, and because lawyers and that, they doctor up things to make them sound pretty and look pretty.
St. Peter's agreement with Kaplan is expected to be finalized later this summer. The city is waiting on approval from the Army Corps of Engineers and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources to build a levee at the site. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is pushing for passage of laws tightening the restrictions on sex offenders. Shimkus is co-sponsoring three measures dealing with sex offender registration and monitoring. The Jessica Lunsford Act would increase the penalties for failing to register as a sex offender and failing to notify authorities of address changes. The other bills would expand the registry requirements to include those convicted of non-parental kidnapping of a minor, use of the Internet to commit a sexual crime against a minor, and foreign sex offenses. Finally, this hour, gas prices are once again traveling in the wrong direction. The Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national averages for both self-serve regular and premium unleaded have risen a penny over the past week. Regular is now averaging $2.12 a gallon, while premium is going for about $2.30 a gallon. While the increases are small, they do reverse a 5-week trend of gas prices falling from near record highs. The price of the pump varies widely across the land, with motorists in California paying considerably more than most. San Jose leads the way with the highest gas prices of the cities surveyed. A gallon of regular there will cost you about $2.46. That compares to just $1.95 a gallon in places like Columbus, Ohio and Greenville, South Carolina. They have the lowest gas prices of the cities surveyed this week. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 44 at Soccer Park. There's an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are blocked at this hour. Traffic jams approaching Highway 270. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blankhead Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed throughout the fall, and traffic is backed up to near 94. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems report. Northbound 270 at 44, everything is moving steady. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to Newhalls Ferry, everything is on the move at this hour. Eastbound 44 and Merrimack River Bridge, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic this hour. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance. Eastbound 40 at Hanley, that traffic is on the move as well. Your bridges stack up like this. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge, that has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing, everything is flowing freely now. Eastbound 64 at Route 3, look for road construction. The right lane is closed. Lindbergh at Patterson, traffic signals are being repaired. Lindbergh at Lindsay, those traffic signals are still out. Northbound McCausland at Waldmere, look for the right lane to be blocked due to utility crew removing a tree. Lindbergh at Charbonnier, look for traffic lights not to be working at this hour. And Garner at McCausland is blocked due to fallen trees as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. This month only, McDonald's fries could mean a Cardinals prize. Free and discounted tickets, road trips, seats from Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes in offers. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy day, 40% chance of showers. The high should be around 94 this evening. Mostly cloudy in the early in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 70s. Moving on to Saturday, partly sunny skies, another chance for showers, 40% as a matter of fact. The high should be in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy, still with another chance for showers with a low around 70. And on Sunday, look for partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 74 degrees. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the wake-up call, the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's the Healthy Futures segment of the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
This is baseball and softball season, and more kids are participating in the fun. But why is it that some of them can't seem to hit the ball? Would you believe science has an answer? In the July issue of Vision Research, a study says that the ball might be moving too slow. Haven't we all purposefully tossed a ball to a young batter with great gentleness, believing that the slower it traveled, the more likely the child could hit it? Well, researchers now say that the opposite is true. They found that the brains of children are wired for fast motion, not slow motion. They say kids' brains, and even adults, have many neurons that deal with faster motion compared with few that process slow motion. So try pitching the ball a little faster and see if that doesn't help. But having a great batting average is not a requirement to play softball or baseball. Certainly, there's a lot more to the game that can benefit kids. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm
very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Once again for Healthy Futures, a weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another hour of the Wake Up Call. This is the Healthy Futures show. I am here with, of course, Program Director for Healthy Futures, Linda McKirkland. And Linda, welcome to another hour.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Linda, last week we were having a conversation about food additives. We were talking about the cost of them. We were talking about the impact of them. And we decided that we were going to continue that conversation this morning.
Okay.
And before we get to that, can we say who we are and our sponsorships?
Okay. Again, Healthy Futures is a program that's here local in St. Louis, and we do nutrition education and physical activity for children. We also have an adult component. And the program is partially funded by the Missouri Foundation for Health, and the sponsorship of the program is by Support a Child International and Eternity Deli.
Very good. So let's hop right into it. Let's get started. When we talk about food additives, we cannot have this conversation without talking about substance that a whole lot of folks put into their body. Apparently, we need to talk about soft drinks. Apparently, the consumption of soft drinks is over 612-ounce servings per person per year. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about if we're putting 612-ounce servings, that's 12-ounce servings per person per year, we need to talk about what's in that stuff.
Absolutely.
That we're putting so much of in our body.
Absolutely. The soft drink industry is a $1 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
And now the major brand distributors are focusing on children, because they want to get brand loyalty while you're young. So a person who drinks a certain soft drink at 5, 10, and 12, as an adult, 30, 40, and 50, will still be buying the same soft drink.
That's what the tobacco industry did.
And absolutely. So the strategies never change.
Mm-hmm.
Just the image of how they market it may have some illusions of change.
And another thing that the industry has done to ensure that connection is when they first started out, a single serving in the 60s was a standard 6.5-ounce bottle.
Yes, now, a little serving.
Now the standard size is 20 ounces
right.
of soda, and people brag on those double gulps.
The big gulp.
Which is a...
64 ounces.
Which is, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like drinking a liter of soda.
Right, right.
So, I mean, they're at it, and we're taking the hit from it.
Absolutely. And we're consuming a great amount, and it's doing major damage to our bodies, whether we think it's doing it or not.
Okay, so let's talk about what's in soda.
We're talking about the ingredients in soft drinks, and in an article that we found, they called it a witch's brew.
Mm.
First of all, you have high fructose corn syrup, which is a sweetener that is developed. And when they did studies on animals, first of all, the fructose has to be metabolized by the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get too much of it, and if you see this one ingredient, it's in most major products, especially products for children. If you watch this, it's called high fructose corn syrup.
Mm.
And in animals, it was shown to develop liver problems and also copper deficiencies. So it robs the body of a lot of things that naturally should be occurring.
So one of the things that we know for a fact that high fructose corn syrup does is robs the body of copper.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the things, I just want to just mention this in passing, Linda, is that there are people out there that are completely responsible. They read the food labels.
Yes.
And when you see these words, high fructose corn syrup, that doesn't sound like it could hurt you.
No, it doesn't sound threatening.
It sounds natural.
It sounds natural.
I mean, it's corn syrup, high fructose, you know, has a lot of sugar in it.
Right.
But it's corn syrup.
Right.
So your mind tells you that though that can't possibly be problematic to the body.
That's true. It's different than if you see a chemical methionic acid.
Exactly.
Now that's disturbing.
That's right. Or just at least a cause for you to say, okay, I need to go find out
what
that is.
Yes.
I don't give that a free pass.
Yes. Yes. But I think that again, to be the conscious consumers and be advocates of better food choices, we have to begin to look at in this day and age every ingredient. If it doesn't say flour, salt, water, something simple that you can readily understand, I would go get a dictionary and find out what it is. And there are a lot of resources to help you to do that.
So high fructose corn syrup is and they used to use sugar in making sodas. Now the preference is using this high fructose corn syrup, and that has been associated with the development of a collagen in animals, and it leads to the body being robbed of copper and it overworks the liver, because this stuff goes straight to the liver to be metabolized, because that's the only place that the only way that the body can let this in, this substance into your body is for it to go straight to the liver, and the liver has to work on it.
But you know, the key factor to the things that we ingest, Liz, is that we take not only this one ingredient, it's a plethora of ingredients in our foods every time we eat.
That's right.
So that's the damaging effect. Again, I would say if I put high fructose corn syrup right here on this table, it does not do anybody harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do to it when we put it into our foods, and it's one of the many ingredients, and we'll talk about the number of ingredients later, that interacts together on a daily basis.
But again, and to underscore your point, it's not the existence of high fructose corn, but it's the fact that the average American is drinking 600 cans of this stuff with this stuff in it every single year. That's the average.
Right.
That's the average.
Right.
And kids are undoubtedly drinking more. And
absolutely.
And I want to add one more thing about the high fructose corn syrup that we haven't mentioned, is that, okay, the liver metabolizes it, but if the liver metabolizes it, problems can ensue similar to those of alcoholics, you know,
absolutely.
Because an alcoholic, they're working their liver overtime as well. It's not the existence of alcohol, it's the amount that you consume and how it harms your body.
Absolutely. And also, because it's a type of sugar, again, that's another sugar-laden product that we have in an abundance in our foods that also causes obesity and diabetes.
There you go.
So there's always a direct correlation.
Just major hits all
around. It's just the hidden sugars that we always have to look for.
Okay.
So, but again, with the high fructose, and the second ingredient that we want to talk about in the soft drinks is aspartame, which is another sweetener, which has the capacity of being 200 times sweeter than sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You already
but
got
it's a chemical.
It's a chemical.
It's
chemically produced
and created.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, nobody creates sugar. Sugar exists out there in the world. This is a chemical compound that has been created to add additional sweetening to the soda that we drink.
Right. And again, you have to look at the ingredients in totality.
Mm-hmm.
So the aspartame, which also is a potent neurotoxin and the endocrine disruptor.
So, and when we're talking about a neurotoxin, why do we need to be concerned about neurotoxins?
Because in the neurons and the neurotransmitters and the endocrine and all of those major portions and glands and parts of our bodies, they are responsible for our daily functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And anything neuro, that's brains and nerves, and nerves are so important to everything that we do because nerves are all over the body. And anything that we ingest that interferes with that,
a neurotoxin,
it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, again, another toxic thing that we're adding to the body that disrupts the normal function of what we do. So, I mean, we can have memory loss. We can, you know, because we're always forgetting stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of things are happening in our body.
Okay, so then we move on to another ingredient in
soda. Oh, the biggie. Mm-hmm. The biggie is the caffeine
mm-hmm.
that we that are put into not only the soft drinks, but a lot of our drinks that we deal with. And this is the part of the addiction
mm-hmm.
Process. And that's why sodas, you tend to drink them for a long time, and if you try to take yourself off of them, the body will go into a withdrawal. But because caffeine doesn't even provide nourishment, and it's that wiring feeling that you get, that upper when you need pep, and that because it stimulates the adrenal gland.
And people that drink a lot of soda, I'm not a soda drinker.
Or coffee.
I don't drink either one of those. But I do remember from my coffee drinking days this symptom that, you know, you feel low. Your body
mm-hmm.
feels low.
Mm-hmm.
You only this time you're going to a soda machine. You're putting a dollar bill in the soda machine. The
right.
soda machine's giving you your soda. You guzzle down the soda, and then immediately you have that energy piece.
Right.
That's an addiction.
Right.
That is your body is not functioning the way that your body is supposed to be functioning, and you are engaging in addictive behavior
because it's addictive because the body will begin to crave it.
I mean, it's, you know, we could really call soda a drinking problem.
Yes.
The consumption of soda, only we have children with drinking problems because
right.
they need soda now in order to get through a day.
And
teenagers
and
need soda to get through a day. We have
right,
another type
right,
of drinking problem.
Right. And not only that, when we see the behaviors of the effect of the caffeine
mm-hmm.
as being one part of the problem in our school children, then the only solution that we have is to stick our children in special classes because
mm-hmm.
we think there's something wrong with them
mm-hmm.
that does not correlate to their diet.
And then there's also a ease that they have of putting children, far too easy to put children in special needs classes to begin with. And on the other side...
Or medication.
And on mm-hmm. the other side of that is that when you have teachers with 35 kids in a class, 40 kids in a classroom,
yes.
25 kids in a classroom without teacher's aids, you know, they're going to go to human nature for a lot of people means that they're going to go to the children that are easier to teach in that
Absolutely.
Environment, and
Absolutely.
The other children are going to either be left behind
right.
or put in.
And
if your child is not being taught because they are wired because they have so much soda in them or so much sugar in them,
right.
you know, your child is not, sometimes it's not the fault of the teacher from that perspective. That
Correct.
You want to send your child to school ready to learn. Ready to learn means that they are healthy receptors, that they can receive the information. And if you're putting soda in
right.
your baby, juices with lots of sugar, you are not, they are through no fault of their own.
Right.
Not the good receptors that they need to be.
Right, and because they're not properly nourished, and it may not always be on the fault of the parents because, you know, you have to understand now that children have buying power, and that's why vending machines are so available to them. So, you know, a parent may not allow certain foods to be consumed in the home, but when the child goes to school, they have access to a lot of the foods that have these ingredients in them that cause the kind of behavior issues that the children are facing on a daily basis. So sometimes the first course of action is not to medicate or to separate the child, but to just look at what the child is consuming within the family or outside of the family.
And, you know, we had Craig Williams, the guy that's in the superintendent's office last week, standing at a press conference talking about the contents of a yearbook. It would have been lovely to have someone, a superintendent, saying, you know what, I want to have a press conference to get rid of all these soda machines in our schools.
Absolutely.
You know, so I mean, so those we need to focus on
lobby for that. Mm-hmm. We got to continue to lobby. But the caffeine also, what also the caffeine does is it increases stomach acid levels.
Mm.
And a lot of times people are consuming soft drinks on an empty stomach, which is just terrible to do,
mm-hmm.
because all of the acids, and we'll start talking about the acids that are in it, it's acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just diluted
mm.
to a certain percent that the government has said it's
acceptable. Mm-hmm.
And it really is not. So it increases the stomach acid levels. And anytime you increase acid in anything, you got erosion.
That's common sense, isn't it?
Yes.
That's common sense. But you don't think of it in terms of the soda that
you
drink.
So
when your babies are going around or your teenagers are going around saying, my stomach hurts.
Stomach hurts.
You know, well, you have acid in your stomach that's not supposed to be there.
Correct.
Coming from the soda that you put in there.
Correct. And that's one of the major problems of the teenagers that they're crying about
mm-hmm.
is the idea of stomach problems, stomach aches.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're consuming so much of the soft drinks, that's one of the culprits, maybe others, but that's at least one of them.
And then we also have the phosphoric acid.
Got phosphoric acid. This is the stuff that when you drink a soft drink, you go,
that's that
bite.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff that gives the bite to the soda, and it's an odorless, colorless solution that's made from the phosphate rock, and it has been known to cause bone loss.
Because it robs the body of calcium.
Because it robs the body of the calcium, absolutely. So that's one acid that's in the soft drink. You also have citric acid that's in the soft drink, which is an acid that's derived from citrus fruits. But the thing is, it's still an acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's still because fruits have natural acids in the correct amount that the body can deal with. But when you experiment with something, you come up with something and you call it citric acid, that's not the same.
It's not. It doesn't.
That's
come
not
from,
the same.
Doesn't come from an orange.
It's not.
This does not come from an orange.
Right. Right.
And another thing is, Ed, there are a lot of people out there that are trying to eliminate MSG from their diets.
Mm-hmm,
they don't go and
monosodium
get
glutamate.
Monosodium glutamate. They don't. They can't have it. They're not supposed to have it.
Right.
What they may not know is that citric acid has MSG in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another mm-hmm. reason that you need to think.
It's the hidden things that we really don't know about, Liz.
And then they also have artificial flavors in the sodas, and that has the MSG in it as well.
Now, for me, whenever I see a product, which is a lot of products that have artificial flavors, my big question is, what do you mean, artificial flavors? And did you know that in the producing of artificial flavors for food industry, it comes from the perfume industry.
Mm.
It's the same phenomenon that when you get those magazines and you can smell the perfume
mm-hmm.
on the paper,
mm-hmm.
it's the same concept to give the food an illusion of a flavor.
And finally,
how do you get that?
Exactly. Another chemical.
How do you do that?
And we have to take a quick break here, but the last thing I want to say is that the water, even the water they put into it, it's fluoride and other contaminants in it. It's not the pure water that you would want and think that you're drinking.
And you don't think about it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here, folks. I am here with Linda McKirkland, Program Directors. We're talking healthy futures. I'm Liz Brown. Please don't forget about Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. This is where you need to go. This is the treat that you need to give your body. Healthy foods, natural foods, organic foods, vegetarian foods. Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid, the best food in town. Right now, you can go down there at noon and get your eat on. They have a soul food buffet every day. Give them a call, 454-1851, 454-1851. That's Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with Healthy Futures. Stay with us.
Even in the darkness shall come.
Oh, it's real silence.
Oh, 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 oh.
total nonstop action wrestling history. 3 incredible years. It's Slammiversary. Sunday night, June 19th, live and exclusively on pay-per-view. Featuring the return of the King of the Mountain Match. As NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles defends against Jeff Jarrett, the alpha male Monty Brown, the 6'8" Monster Abyss, and a very special wild card entry. As these 5 warriors step into the most dangerous match in wrestling today. The King of the Mountain Match. Plus, the X Division Champion, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, defends against Chris Sabin and Michael Chain. Plus, the Truth versus the Outlaw, America's Most Wanted, the 3 Live Crew, and what will Raven have in store for the anniversary show? Live from Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, it's Slammiversary. Sunday night, June 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Live and exclusively on pay-per-view.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Healthy Futures discussion this morning is, you know, what you need to know, what you didn't know, what your mama didn't tell you about, what's in soda, all these other foods that we are eating. And I'm here, of course, with Linda McKirkland, Program Director for Healthy Futures. Linda, we were going to finish up the last 3 ingredients in soda.
Okay. Apart from the water that we was talking about, there are some other acids that are added that's called acetic, fumaric, and gluconic acids, and they're all put in a certain degree within the product. But again, with the combination of, it's like at least 5 different acids that can be potentially in your soft drinks. But and the best use for it is just to clean your engine.
So actually, there are people that take soda, pour soda on car engines in order to clean to the clean grease it. And the gunk,
the grug,
that
corrosion,
and it's effective and because it's effective. Of all of the acids that it has in it. So
absolutely.
Think about that in terms of drinking the soda.
Absolutely.
And again, we have to underscore that the average consumer drinks 620-ounce containers of soda a year,
wow.
The average.
Wow.
So that's a whole lot of acid that you're taking through your system, and right. Your system has to deal with that.
Right, and again, it's just like the car engine and the corroded battery. If it does that, it's just tearing up your your stomach lining.
There's a reason why your tummy aches.
It's a reason why it hurts.
That's a reason why it aches.
Right.
So let's move on now to some snacks, because we, and again, think about little people's stomachs. Think about what this effect is having on little people, these babies. Let's move to the Lunchables. You want to go to the Lunchables?
Yeah,
let's talk about the Lunchables. What's in them?
Okay. We looked at the ingredients of one Lunchable, and with one, there is a total of 38 ingredients. Now, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. For four or five little products,
right.
We have about 38 ingredients.
38 ingredients. Out of the 38 ingredients, there were 13 that I would put a question mark by, even for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at ingredients, things you just don't understand. Now, when we look at the Lunchable, you know.
And we're talking about like a nacho cheese type of a Lunchable type of thing.
We know what water is. We know what tomatoes are. We know what jalapeno peppers are. I mean, these are the things that are listed here.
Mm-hmm.
But you have things like sorbic acid as a preservative. We know that sorbic acid is an acid in a percentage in our foods that preserves our food. You have, again, there's that word, artificial color. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You have your high fructose corn syrup.
And they don't tell you what the ingredients are in the artificial colors.
That's true. And again, those are the hidden things that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You have sodium benzoate, which is another type of preservative. So in this product alone, you already have at least two known preservatives in the foods which are chemically produced. And then they also have something that's called natural flavor. I don't know what that means either, Liz.
Mm-hmm. And they don't tell you what natural flavor is.
No.
Where it comes from, because there are a whole lot of things that are there naturally that I don't want in my body.
And then also, they will say things are natural and they're not natural.
Mm-hmm.
The way they produce them for the products will not be natural.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some enzyme-modified cheese. I don't know what that means. You have your partially hydrogenated soybean oil. Now, anytime you see the word hydrogenated, that should be a red flag, because it's the process is where they add hydrogen gas under very high pressure to turn a liquid oil into a solid or partially solid substance.
Mm.
And again, this has been linked to colon cancer, and it also adversely affects the levels of fat in the blood. So that means that the fat now is sticking to the arteries and veins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to always be careful. And a lot of the products, that word, you will see that a lot, especially in your potato chips, and children are consuming a great amount of chips.
Mm-hmm.
And just take a few minutes to just look at the products that are marketed to children, and you will see the enormous number of ingredients that are in those products that you really don't have a clue unless you have some type of added dictionary to help you understand what it is. So that's just for one Lunchable, a nacho and cheese dip. That's 38 ingredients.
Mm. And there's another ingredient, sodium alginate. You know, sodium alginate, sodium phosphorate, all, you know, dried corn syrup.
Another sugar.
So we really, while we live in a fast-paced world and all of that, I know it's quick and I know it's easy to buy these and feel like you're actually putting some stuff into your children's little bodies, but we need to rethink this.
Right.
We really need to rethink this and work and do another way of doing this, of putting fast food into our children's bodies.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good point, because, again, the fast pace of what we do every day affects our lifestyle choices, and we have to be at least conscious enough of them so we can begin to lessen the fast food choices that we have.
And I think that I'm just looking at these Lunchables, and the list of ingredients are 4 inches wide.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are so
almost 20 lines
20,
long.
Exactly, almost 20 lines long of sodium, monocalcium, phosphate, sodium, aluminum sulfate, calcium sulfate, fumaric acid.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy, crazy stuff. I love this one ingredient that's in children's snacks that you have listed here, this natamycin.
Natamycin.
Okay, talk to us about that. What is natamycin?
It's a fungicide that's produced from the soil in near South Africa and is used to inhibit mold growth.
It's a fungicide that is used to inhibit mold on cheese, growing on cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, adverse reactions include swelling around
black
the eyes and black eyes from blood gathering there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let me get to a couple of our callers here. Yes, quickly, please.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Lady from the East Side.
Yes, ma'am.
I am so pleased to hear your guest that happens to come on every Friday. She is so informative.
Thank you, ma'am.
We give thanks to you, Liz, for that. As you know, or may not know, I am vegan. And if I may just give a suggestion on a book that may also further give understanding to preservatives and things of that nature.
Sure, go right ahead, please.
It's called Natural Cures Book.
Yes.
By Kevin Trudeau.
Trudeau, yes.
It's called what?
Natural Cures.
Mm-hmm. Natural Cures. C-U-R-E-S. Okay.
Yes.
Yes,
book.
Very good.
The book that the government don't want you to know about.
Very good.
He says something about when they put natural flavoring or natural into food products, they're actually a concoction of hundreds of other chemicals listed under that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Let me get this car phone, please. Car phone.
Keith. Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I appreciate the information coming from your guest. I wanted to contribute something I actually heard on a program similar to yours, and that was on this natural flavorings thing.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, the FDA has allowed food manufacturers to use that label to place monosodium glutamate, or MSG, in the foods, which is considered a natural occurring substance. But what was interesting on that same program, and I won't mention any names, but that the most popular brand of tomato soup you can think of has MSG in it. And the person defending that soup said, well, MSG is a naturally occurring product. Of course it's going to be in our tomato soup. And the guy that was debating him said, yeah, but you would have to put 1,000 tomatoes into that can of soup to get the equivalent of MSG into that soup that they're putting into it. So
but there are
I'm really concerned about that.
There are a lot of poisons that are out there that are naturally occurring as well, but we don't put them into food and defend it as it because it's naturally occurring.
Absolutely. Anyway, appreciate it.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number.
Those were good points. The book by Kevin Trudeau is a must read.
Mm-hmm.
It's a must read. It goes into a lot of the things that needed to be uncovered in terms of the food and the food industry. In terms of the natural flavorings, again, we go back to the same message that we've been advocating from the very beginning of this show, is that if we could make the foundation of our diet fresh fruits and vegetables, it'd be wonderful.
There we go. And again, this is another one of those topics that we just don't have enough time to talk about because the ingredients that people just don't understand and don't pay enough attention to what the ingredients are.
Right.
So let's talk about some of the upcoming shows that we're going to have.
Next week, we're going to be talking about asthma.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a representative from the Asthma Association. Helping us to understand what it is and how it's affecting our children, per se. And the next show would be talking about lead poisoning and connecting everything to possibly what we're eating, what we're consuming, or how what we can consume in terms of our diet to be better in terms of disease prevention, even with these issues asthma and lead poisoning.
Okay, so as we work our way out.
A positive thought for today is, again, I will read food labels.
I will read food labels.
And another good book besides The Natural Cures by Kevin Trudeau is A Diet for a New America by John Robinson. Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, is a must read.
Very good. And as always, to get it done right, to work yourself into this, to a healthy future, please take advantage of Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. Today is lasagna day. Get some carrots with that, some greens with that. It's all good. You will love it. You will keep going back. Please, Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid, 454-1851, 454-1851. Miss Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we will be back same time with this next week.
Asthma.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to talk about asthma. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I know it gets harder every day, but I know we can't stop living this way.
gotta be a better way. I don't know if I wanna live my life like this for each and every day. But now I found that I've got to stay. Even though it gets hard, I can't look far, and I can't live my life no other way.
Hi, friends. Howie here with a hint for health, your bone health, and your heart health. Make CitraCal calcium citrate an everyday habit to the point where it's second nature. Here's why. CitraCal is clinically proven to help maintain bone mass to fight osteoporosis. CitraCal also elevates HDL, that's the good cholesterol. CitraCal is well absorbed and can be taken with or without meals. CitraCal, good for your bones, good for your heart. Be a CitraCal gal like me.
Where are you folks headed this summer? The beach, the mountains, the world's scariest roller coaster? Well, no matter where you're headed, be sure to stay with the Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, because they're offering triple Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards credit with every qualifying stay this summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for details. We'll see you there.
Receive 1.5 credits instead of 0.5 credits for qualifying stays with arrival between June 1st and August 31st, 2005. All Rapid Rewards rules and regulations apply.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. The Supreme Court of Israel has ruled that the Gaza pullout plan is legal and can proceed according to schedule. The court went even further by saying the West Bank and Gaza Strip areas were not legal parts of the country of Israel. Those areas were occupied from Jordan and Egypt 38 years ago following the 1967 war with those countries. Palestinian leaders welcome the ruling but say there's really nothing new that came out of it. They question why the construction of hundreds of Jewish colonies in those areas ever happened in the first place and say the proposed security wall that's under construction is also illegal and needs to be halted. That view was shared by the International Court of Justice last year, which called for the dismantling of the wall. Meanwhile, hardline Jewish settlers say the court ruling is irrelevant and unacceptable because they have a ruling from God to possess the land. They vow to resist the evacuation of those territories. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019, 383-2019, Roy's Transmission.
Hi, I'm Brian Kay, sales manager at WGNU Radio. Right now, you're hearing my voice. What you could be hearing is yours, telling people about your business. Call me during regular business hours at 314-454-6660, and let me show you how effective and affordable radio ads can be on WGNU and how they can bring new customers to you. Once again, that's Brian Kay at 314-454-6660. We can replace this ad with yours.
Have you been wondering what Susan Smith Harmon has been up to lately? Well, wonder no more. The airways were just a little too irresistible for her to stay away for long. Now you can catch Susan on the WGNU airways on Friday mornings from 10 to noon. Spend your Fridays with Susan Smith Harmon from 10 a.m. to noon here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is Brandy in a diamond glass. Everything is made from jeans. Time is made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means. Temptation. 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 I can't resist. Well, I know. But I've lost my way.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up and get to me. We have much to talk about. Yes.
Good morning. I was hoping I would have gotten on when your guest was on, but I enjoy that show, and I'm so glad that you had it on and talking about sodas, and I think it would be beneficial to us as families, especially during the summer when a lot of children are not going to be in school, to ever so often talk about the caffeine and the different chemicals that are in the food. Because I was in a store yesterday and heard two men mention, and I was really surprised to say, must have been listening to Liz's show. They were talking about all the sugar that was in something, and they would say, man, that's nothing but sugar. So you are really getting over. But I was saying, wanting to say this to your listening audience. Try Canning. I'm in the same store I saw Canning jars. I don't see them in my area, but I was in a different area of town, and I see these Canning jars. People are having gardens, and they are canning, and our people need to, if they can't can, try to read the labels and cook once or twice a week enough food to have so that the children don't have to go to snacks and things.
That's right. It's all about planning.
Yes,
it's all about
if they're planning. When the children are past 6 or 7 years old, they can help cook because they can do some things. They may not be at the stove, but they can help to plan and prepare so they can become a family event. And they do it once or twice a week. And this will certainly help our health because this is critical to our children getting to be adults. And your shows are really good. I just enjoyed this morning.
Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget that every day the shows are archived at whiterose.org. That's whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour right there at whiterosesociety.org. You can always catch up on what we've been doing here on the Wake Up Call. And again, my number here is 454-0400. The fax is 454-6609. The toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And I want to remind people that As a follow-up or as a continuation of what we did in the last 30 minutes on the show, you all can take your health into your own hands. You all can do what you need to do to allow your body to be what your body is supposed to be. It's not hard. Is just undoing some habits and also engaging your mind in the process of evaluating the things that come into your existence. I know it's easy. Sometimes you just don't want to think. You just don't want to have to think. You don't want to have to think about it. You don't want to have to. You just want to just, I don't want to have to think about this. I just want to put something into my system. Well, you need to think. You need to think about this. You absolutely need to think about what you put into your body. Brandy, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
This is Brandy with Eternity Vegetarian Deli and Juice Bar.
11 South Euclid, yes.
Yes,
yes,
I was calling to let everybody know that we're having a Men's Health Coalition tomorrow.
Okay.
From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And David Nelson will be there, and he'll be talking about juicing.
So everybody that didn't have a chance to catch David on the show or that wants to learn about the value and the benefit of a juicing, they can come on out to Eternity Deli tomorrow?
Absolutely.
And this is what time?
This is from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
9 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow. And Eternity Deli is located where?
11 South Euclid.
And again, what's on the menu today?
The menu today is... I think it's eggplant parmesan.
Okay.
Collard greens. Yams. And you can get any recipe salad that's also
very good. Very good. So we're going to have eggplant parmesan today. That is so good, y'all. That is so, so good. Thank you so much, Brandy.
And you're very welcome.
Okay, take care now.
Okay, you too.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And, of course, our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can do the health thing. You can make a difference in your health. You can fix this. You know, you can do right by your body. And honestly, you will notice the difference if you just make some small changes. And sometimes we feel like we can't do this at home, so, okay, I can help you with that. Go to Eternity Deli. They will give you a reason to start doing this for yourself. They will help. They will hold your hand through this process of turning away from things that aren't good for you into the delicious world of things that are. It is good. Honestly, I wouldn't lead you astray. That's at 11 South Euclid. You need to check out, and you need to do it for yourself and do it for your kids and teach them another way of doing. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have a really exciting week coming up for you, I can't wait to talk to you next week. So tell you what, here's what I want you to do. I want you until I'm in your ear again on Monday, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that God let us be new. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A serious interstate collision involving a bus full of kids and a tractor-trailer rig in Boca Raton, Florida. ABC's Andrew Colton in Miami.
Roughly 24 students were on the white minibus. It was hit on the side by a tractor-trailer carrying lumber. Some of the kids were ejected. Rescuers treating them on the side of the road. A rescue helicopter is on the scene. The winds from Tropical Storm Arlene already hitting this